listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Show you bitches how to do the shit. Stand back while I demonstrate. Pussy worth like $1 million. I think your nigga got expensive taste. I'm not a bum bitch, I'm a boss bitch. You sideline, I'm center stage. I don't even get involved with it. It don't make me come, then it don't get me paid. If it's not the money, then it's goofy gone. Still your man with my Gucci on. Whole team full of bad bitches. That Louis Vuitton, our uniform. 24 cat my grills. I do what I want, bitch. Fuck how you feel. Fuck a whole checkup all on my nails. I pull up that farm. Cut in my wheel. Bye, bitch. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Tells podcast. Your host, Rod and...
Karen, so aggressive. Bye, bitch.
Well, you know, Cardi B is aggressive. I mean, that's pretty... That makes sense. Of course, this is the Blackout Test podcast. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Just search the Blackout Test. We'll come up. Leave us 5-star reviews. We'll read them on the show as long as they're nice. Mm-hmm. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
And the unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball. Extreme. And of course, you can go to theblackouttest.com and donate to the show. We appreciate everybody that does that. And it helps out tremendously, and we're gonna read off the people that donated today. But before we even do that, I actually wanted to say there was a issue in our Facebook group where there was some dude that was look, sometimes people get a little buck wild in the Facebook group, okay? All right, people might, you know, do like thirst threads, and it'll be like a theme, like take a picture of your lips or something like that.
That's fine.
Well, that was, you know, and I mean, etiquette is pretty much understood, and people normally do apply, you know, at least from what I've seen, follow the etiquette, you know, like people might post a picture, but you're not supposed to be, you know, direct messaging those people or harassing those people online or anything like that off of it. Although, it is the internet. Anything you post, we can't guarantee anything is, you know, 100% safe, you know, but in general, it seems like most people follow that rule. But there was this dude that was hitting up women and being like, hey, can you send me an extra picture for myself and stuff? And he's a married dude. And so somebody called him out, and then other women start coming forward like, hey, he's done that same shit to me, and it's hella annoying. And you know, there was like this whole thing that ensued where some people were coming through being like, oh man, they fucked up the whole fun. And people were like, now's not really time to say that. You know, we talking about somebody overstepping bounds and talking about you know, issues of coming into somebody's space and stuff. And so those people, I did see they did apologize after they were kind of called to the carpet on that. But more importantly, you know, I, you know, the dude left the group immediately. I didn't even get a chance to see it and kick him out or anything. And it's one of those people where they befriended a lot of people from the group. So, you know, they there's a chance they might be your friend or whatever. I'm assuming they unfriended all these people to, avoid their wife finding out or whatever. And I don't know this guy personally or anything like that. So I don't know, anything beyond that. But the point being, you know, we would like for our group to be a space where people can come in, have fun, enjoy each other and stuff like that. I hate when people take advantage of shit like that, but it is 2,200 people. So there's almost no way that we can guarantee anybody will be 100%, anything. You know, we've closed the group at this point. It's a secret group, so you can't find it by searching. We're not allowing members in. People, you know, have asked, oh, can I add this person? And we just say no. Mm-hmm. So for the most part, you know, the group is the group at this point. And if there's anybody that violates the rules of the group and stuff, we try to kick them out and get rid of it immediately. At the same time, you know, it is definitely a proceed at your own risk type of environment, because at no point can we really guarantee the behavior of anybody, you know, and the tools we have on Facebook are not enough to really truly rein in somebody if they're, you know, lurking, or just like this kind of person where they seem to listen to the show, they've been in there for months, they're predatory. You know, and there's a lot of people like that. They'll pretend. We talked about it with that Citizen Radio shit where people will pretend to be down and shit, but the whole time they're in the background trying to finagle some shit. So yeah, I'm sorry that that happened, obviously. And like I said, we will you know, essentially if it's brought to our attention, we just get rid of that kind of shit. Like it is hard to manage 2,200 different personalities and people, and people have brought up this idea of like maybe having moderators or something, but we're not big fans of that, because for the most part, even people that I thought about in the past are like, well, Karen, maybe we can make this person a moderator. You know, inevitably you see that person get into some petty shit with somebody, and it's like, well, thank God they didn't have moderating powers. You know, like some of the levels people go like personally and shit, it's just like, it's probably better. And then of course there's a whole issue of, well, now y'all got y'all faves. Oh, so you let so-and-so be a moderator, but not blankety blank and all that shit. And honestly, I feel like Karen and I are responsible for that space. So, if something goes wrong or people don't like something, I'd rather they blame us, and leave or whatnot. You know, since we've had the group, we've already had people say a little sideways shit. Me more than Karen, cause I'm in there moderating more than Karen, but you know, I've already had people say sideways shit to me, and I'm glad it was me and not, somebody that might lash out or start targeting people or, you know, hold a grudge or some shit like that, because I understand running this space means not everybody's going to be happy with everything that happens. So all that to say, you know, I definitely, I'm glad that we have a very active space of people that, for the most part, self-moderate. And since the group has been closed and secret, the problems have gone way, 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 way down.
Yes, they
have. You know,
have.
This is just an egregious violation on,
yep,
the part of this dude.
Right. Most of the time it flows with no issues, no problems, or
right,
any of that, you know.
Yeah. So this is just an egregious violation on the behalf of this dude, and it was fucked up. And, like I said, it wasn't some who let this guy in or any of that shit, you know, which is something that we kind of got rid of that. And that, like, closing the group really helped get rid of the who the fuck friend is this? Why did you invite them in? And
right,
all the people that are like, well, my friend doesn't even listen to the show, but I thought that maybe y'all could help them out. No. You know, it's not an educational space exactly, you
right,
know.
We don't get that random person going, I don't even listen to the show.
Bullshit right.
Like that, nope.
Right, and I'm sure there's still people in there that need to be weeded out. There's just nothing, until somebody does something or says something, there's really nothing we can do. But
yeah, and mm-hmm. I'm sorry. And there have been people that have joined the group that may have not even listened to the show or been a part of the show. And some of them actually started listening because of the group and things like that. But the problem is that for the few that has no association, don't respect, don't even know who me and you are, they come in there, act a motherfucking fool, and then wonder why they can't stay.
Yeah, and it's wild because, you know, even people listening to this now, only thing they're hearing is, I'm not in the group and I want to be in the group. And that's not going to happen. So, yeah, it's like I said, I think we're trying our best to keep it, positive space. I don't, mm-hmm, like people say it's their safe space. I don't really call it that because I don't think any collection of human beings can ever be safe. Like 2,200 people is not a safe space. It doesn't matter, whether they're well intentioned or not. People are people and they're messy and they're going to hurt each other. They're going to say things callously. They're going to not, like, one person will be on joke time and another person will be like, this ain't the time for jokes. There's going to be people that take offense to a certain, like, very you know, like something that you might think is in general, like, oh man, this is boy, this is stupid. And then there's gonna be another person in the group that's like, I think stupid is a tool of a word of oppression or something. Like, there's always gonna be something, because there are so many people. I wouldn't call it a safe space myself, but we're gonna try our best to, you know, to keep it to a point where people can come in and have a fun environment. And mm-hmm, you know, like they say, one monkey don't spoil no show or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, we, like, it's still a fun place. And I think people worry about Karen and I, like, is this too much work? Is this a burden on y'all? Are we making y'all do? And it's like, no, it's not too much work. Mm-mm. And no, it's, you guys aren't a burden. You know, I'm a little bit of a perfectionist when it comes to like social media shit. So obviously I hate every time I see like the record scratch when I see somebody act a motherfucking fool like this. But in general, man, it's a very positive space. A lot of people have, you know, have learned from each other.
Right.
Not that it's like a required educational space, but I've watched people grow.
Me too.
I watch people form relationships and bonds. People start their own podcasts. Right. People get married and shit. Like, I've watched so much positive stuff happen. A lot of black people find like a home there.
Right.
A lot of LGBT people find a home there. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I feel like for the most part, that is a reflection of the show that we do.
Right.
And people can still have their fun and make jokes and have humor and all that stuff. And that's beautiful what's happening in there. But yeah, occasionally there's going to be somebody that just fucks shit up. I don't want people to feel like that's making us like give up on this space or I'm gonna delete this group, y'all motherfuckers. Like, it's not a threat or anything like that. It's just, you know, it sucks, you know, but I tried to answer as many questions as I could for people yesterday, because people were like, well, what about this solution? What about that one? I'm like, here's the things that we've thought about. Here's the reasons some of this stuff we had to shoot down, some of the things we've been able to work with. but for the most part, a lot of people there. We retain a lot of people in the group. People have been there for months, years, even, I guess, at this point. And you know, it's a cool community, and you know, obviously no one's there by force. Like, everyone is free to leave. somebody left the other day in a huff, mad at me, you know what I mean? So like, it absolutely understand. No, if it's not your vibe, we definitely don't want to force anybody to be in the group, because you know, there's no reason to be somewhere where you don't want to be there.
Correct.
Or you don't like us, or you don't listen to our show and all this other shit. There's no reason for that. So yeah, I hope you know, anyway, I hope that explains, because I want to have full transparency with the group and shit, because I don't want to basically be sitting around like you know, with this albatross hanging over us all the time. And I think people in the group that listen to the show, you know, they like, it shows.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm proud of the group. You know, I'm proud of even the silly shit and the funny shit that people do. I'm proud of that stuff. And I'm proud of when people get people in line. Like, you know, sometimes an educational moment might be getting dragged for a second, but then next time your ass will know. Like, I've watched people that got dragged that my finger was hovering over the delete button, like, oh, ban this nigga. And months later, now it's like, okay, that person understands why, say, agreeing with Charlamagne that there's nothing better than a white woman on my dick is a ridiculous and very hateful thing to say for black women, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that kind of shit, where if it was up to me at the moment, they probably would have been gone. But I was like, let me try to let people be human and work shit out to a certain extent.
Right.
Like, you know, obviously it varies per person. It varies per situation. Some people aren't
like that. When you go, nah, you got to go.
Yeah, some people just aren't salvageable. But in general, you know, I'm proud of like when I see shit like that, because it's very difficult, especially as a black person, to not have like 100% agreement on everything. Seems to be the way a lot of people operate, and the way that people are more disposable now via internet and things of this nature. Like, you can just be like, this person's out of my life. I never met them. We went back and forth on the internet a few times. We might have said happy birthday to each other without ever meeting each other and shit. And so it's just much easier to be like, block, delete, unfollow. And to be able to see people kind of work past that sometimes is dope. You know, in situations where it's not like abusive and stuff. But in this case, yeah, man, it seems to go without saying, I thought. And many people have said it already in the group, but yeah, just cause somebody's nice to you or likes a joke you made or whatever, there's still boundaries. You know what I mean? Like, people still are gonna be like, you know, even in a situation where it's like, if someone posted a picture on Instagram where they're like looking pretty hot and tempting, as as Chris Tucker said, in what movie was that? Was that money talks. Even when they're looking pretty hot and tempting, it doesn't necessarily mean it's an open invitation into their direct messages, or you need to be asking them for pictures. And especially when you know you're a married man, and the second that shit goes public, you about to shut down all your accounts and run away from the internet. You ain't have no business doing that shit then. You know, like, it's just totally uncalled for. These are strangers. Like, these are people that he wasn't friends with in the group already. It's like you send them a message and it says that thing where it's like, do you want to accept this message from a stranger? You see what I'm saying? So, like, already y'all not friend. Like, you're reaching out to strangers on the internet just hoping to see some titties, as if the internet isn't a land filled with titties, just filled with to the brim with titties. I mean, everywhere,
as far as your eye can see,
right? Dog. So I don't know, man, it was just extremely predatory and uncomfortable and fucked up. And I hope anyone that was thinking about engaging that kind of behavior saw what happened and wouldn't. And I hope that if there's, you know, other people that were doing it, I hope they scared now. You know what I mean? I hope they like, okay, you know. And for the record, like, we don't co-sign that shit. That motherfucker gone, and if he just left before I could kick his ass out. But yeah, man, we don't need that shit in our group. Mm-hmm. All right, to the show. So there were people that donated, and let's see what the song is. Here we go.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song's for you.
Today's a new day.
New day, new Monday. Melissa W hit us with the one-time donation. Thank you, Melissa.
Thank you.
Reaching out. Design T, recurring donator. Thank you very much, Design. Mm-hmm. Alfonso M, recurring donator. Thank you very much, Alfonso. Jane M, recurring donator. Kelly C, recurring donator. Thank you very much. Shirley Wong, Esquire. Please say the Esquire.
Official lawyer.
Recurring donator. Lisa D, recurring donator. Thank you very much. Tiffany B, recurring donator. And she's a brand new recurring donator. Go join the new members class. Also, Elizabeth M is also a brand new recurring donator.
Hey, baby.
Go on to the new members class. Conrad will be teaching you guys the introduction into the cult. Kimberly W. Thank you, Kim. Recurring donator.
Thank you.
Tanya S. Recurring donator. Dana W. Recurring donator. Thank you. Josh Wong. Oh, you know Wonga. Yeah, all the way from Australia, mate.
Hey, Wonga.
Listening live. Rosalie V. Recurring donator. Alexis H.
You stay safe out there in the woods.
Alexis H, recurring donator. Ashton Q, recurring donator. Thank you, Ashton. April G, recurring donator. Conrad, of course, official first time recurring donator. Lucas DeG, recurring donator. The Tickler, recurring donator. Thank you, the Tickler. Tabitha M, recurring donator. Thank you.
Hey, baby.
Brian, I think this is Brianna F, recurring donator. Thank you, Brianna. And Jeffrey B gave us the one-time donation. Thank you, Jeff. We appreciate you.
We do.
And that's everybody. Yeah, that's everybody. Thank you so much, guys. All right. Oh, and programming note. We will be doing potentially this too much tomorrow, guys, because okay. I know people are like, where's the show at, you know, already? And I'm like, well, me and Bossy got to get the schedules right, but... it's looking like Sunday afternoon is when we'll do it. So for some of you guys who are always working during that time, during when me and Bossy record, maybe you can show up and watch us live for the season finale. Okay, we will love for you to be there. All right, guys, I guess we can start with the 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. Number one, Dapper Denise says, still tipping 5 stars. Hello, Rod and Karen. This review has been long overdue. Seeing that I have been tipping for almost 2 years now, I absolutely love the show, the chat room, and the group. I'm always in stitches with your puns, Rod. The racist comments from Guess the Race and Karen's timely jokes. I will never get over Karen's R&B pay your taxes freestyle. I cried literal tears while I was at work. You two are so amazing. I love the way you love each other. Thank you for creating such magical content. Keep the brand strong for many years to come. Thank you.
Thank you.
We shall. Rod and Karen, 5 stars by Future PhD, who says, I had to post before I really got into this episode. Karen said it all. People are afraid of things they do not understand or choose to hide behind religion, gender, race, etc., and then want to tear down and mistreat others who are not like them. I'm so glad I can think and choose for myself, despite the fact that I am shunned every day because I am not married. I do not have children, and I am a female. Thanks as always for clapping back on those who choose to rest in their feelings / experience.
Come on.
Oh, thank you, Future PhD.
Mm-hmm. And Future PhD, be free. I'm glad you have got to the point where you're free, because so many women fall and buckle underneath that pressure, particularly being a female and not being married, and especially not having kids. Everybody lose their motherfucking mind. Like, when you gonna fuck? When you gonna fuck? When you gonna fuck? When you get married? When you gonna fuck? When you don't get married? Or even if you're not, they just assume that you're gay or lesbian, and you're like, well, I'm not gay or lesbian. I do like men, you know, but I got shit to do right now. But a lot of times, not that men don't have that pressure, but the pressure is not the same.
Of course not.
On men.
Yeah. It's not
you
the same
know,
at all.
If a man dedicates his life to his career and don't get married and don't have children and is single, everybody just let him be. But a woman, all of a sudden, you are old, hagless woman who ain't good to nobody or nothing.
Yep, definitely not the same pressure.
Come on.
And lastly, CSM215 says, glorious, wonderful, marvelous, magnificent, superb, sublime, spectacular, lovely, fine, delightful, informal, super, great, stunning, fantastic, terrific, tremendous, sensational, heavenly, divine, gorgeous, fabulous, fab, awesome, ace, killer, literary, wondrous, beauteous, nigga. I don't feel like I'm supposed to be snapping after that. Thank you,
thank you
very much. Yeah, when they say it glorious, it made me think of X-Clan when they used to be like, Vainglorious! I don't know what ever happened to them. The other day I was in Chipotle, I was like, they was like, what you want on your burrito? I was like, the red salsa, the green guacamole, and the black beans, sissy! They was like, who the fuck you think you talking to? I don't know. I'm
sorry. Pretty sure.
Sorry, Chipotle.
Gave you a blank stare. Like, why is nigga singing in the line?
The
that's
red,
too much for.
The red is for the salsa. The niggas used to be intense.
At least they laugh at me because I'm real simple. What you want? I said green, red. I just call it whatever color it is. I know what I mean. Like, what's wrong with her?
We got
I don't know the different names. Shit, it's too much. But go ahead.
All right. We got one more on Stitcher. MJ Not Famous says, 5 stars, only gets better and better. I came to the show about a year ago after reading an interview with Rod. I was instantly curious, and the more I listened, the more hooked I got. Rod and Karen bring so much honesty and humor, you start feeling like you know them. I feel like any news that I hear, I instantly want their opinions. Karen and Rod always leave me thinking, whether it's a serious issue or something ridiculous in white people news. Rod, your puns always leave me laughing and shaking my head. Karen, your laugh is infectious and your rants are wisdom. Thank you for bringing your beauty and candor to the podcast world. You have a listener for life. Oh,
thank you
MJ Famous.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you internationally known around these parts then. And then we also have some commentary on the website, theblackouttwist.com. of course, every episode we post, make a post, you can go there, log in, leave comments, vote in the polls.
What else iTunes answers you combine,
huh?
So you didn't differentiate between, you just read them all.
I read the first 3 from iTunes, and I just said that last one was from Stitcher.
Okay, I wanted to be sure. My bad.
Yeah, I read them all. So you can go to theblackouttest.com, and each episode has a post, and you can, like, leave a comment and vote in the polls and all that stuff. So some people did that this week. Monica left a comment on episode 1400, Live Outside the Bowl. I just cackled way too loudly when Rod told Karen she could Google Farina instead of derailing the email with the question, and Karen was like, so I will then. Rod was like, I googled it for you. Ha, I'm both Karen, totally on my own train of thought, thinking out loud, and Rod sarcastically not appreciating the interruption. And it was a very cute, very funny, and genuine couples money moment. Thank you, Monica.
Mm-hmm.
Miss Mar says, one, just because you add the milk after the cereal doesn't have to mean soggy cereal. If you pour the cereal in first, then pour the milk along the side of the bowl, it goes under the cereal. This is correct. I know because I've done cereal like this before. Yeah, it's possible, Karen.
Yep.
Listen, I'm not against your anti-bowl lifestyle, your different, but you don't have to shame us for, like, I don't shame people for eating their Kit Kats the quote-unquote right way.
I don't shame you either, but your way ain't the only way. I want you to know, you right bowlers over here. Right-wing bowlers.
Number two, about the girl harassing the other girl in school. I think I get where this parent could be coming from. We're conditioned to have knee-jerk reactions. Even when we think we have unlearned those responses, occasionally we run across a situation we aren't prepared for. As a society, we're dismissive of hetero harassment. In school, girls are constantly told that a boy harassing them just likes them, which is ridiculous. Lil Stevie snaps your bra, says foul things to you, pushes you down, all because he likes you. Nah. Further, society doesn't deal with homosexuality well either. When you add homosexuality to the already poorly handled heterosexual harassment, people get shook. It's a situation very few seriously talk about or deal with, so there aren't many examples of how to effectively handle it. The same adults comfortable with harassment by the opposite sex often react far more seriously when confronted with same-sex harassment. The cool thing is that this parent asked instead of going with a knee-jerk reaction. Oh yeah, for sure. I guess it just, like I said, it never crossed my mind how different you would treat that.
Right.
But I guess in some people's mind, it's just like, you know, they would treat it differently or whatever.
I'm like, the harassment is harassment. I don't give a damn what sex it is.
Yeah, like, why wouldn't you treat the steps? Because you only have certain steps in the school no matter what, so.
Right, and they have to be unified, so let them be unified.
But you never know, because people do have hate, man, and they do, like, you will see people that say, like I said, this is the same society where Tracy Morgan thought it was acceptable to stay on a stage full of people in the audience to say he would stab his son in the chest for being gay.
Right.
Now he did apologize, but just the fact that even off the cuff, you think an audience full of people would okay, if they didn't agree with it, they would at least find it funny at the minimum. That says a lot about our society, you know? I think a lot of times people just don't consider, sometimes it's the state, it's not so much that the statement itself, but the fact that people feel comfortable making a statement like that, it says what they feel society is reflecting back to them. So yeah, it says a lot that a person could think that, yes, this joke, there's nothing wrong with this. And like I said, I don't remember the clip exactly, but if people laughed at that, it pretty much justifies his homophobia in that situation. So yeah, I completely understand. And then we have the poll, how do you eat cereal? Milk first, then pour cereal. Cereal first, then pour milk. Or some other disgusting weirdo way. Milk first, then pour cereal, 8% are with Karen. 86% cereal first, then pour milk. And then 6% say some other disgusting weirdo way.
Ah! What other way is it?
I don't know. They didn't leave comments. Whitley F. Brooks only left the only comment, which says, I'm triggered by this picture 100. And it was a picture of how to drink milk with cereal. How to do milk and cereal. We had episode 1401, Uncle Chuckis. I think this is when we first... Well, yeah, it got the title from, of course, Charles Barkley's comments about black people as usual. Mm-hmm. But this is when we first started talking about the Chimamanda, discussion. Mm-hmm. And so people were writing in. And like I said, I really, I'm just taking people's word for what they said. I think a lot of people are, you know, to some extent trying to talk over trans people on this shit rather than just read what they say or give people the respect that they're asking for rather than try to like fight them on it, especially since we don't really know. Like, there's so few people that statistically that we know of that are trans, and so few people that people have personal interactions with, but yet they want to tell them how their life was and all this shit. And it seems like a lot. And oh, somebody just left a comment during the episode. Hold on. And it was on the last, it was on the serial one. So let me just read it real quick. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Hey Rod, hey Karen. Just a follow up, it's okay to have your girl push the car if you need to pop the clutch. Yes. This did actually happen to me. LOL. To answer your question about who was pushing, I was pushing from the door and steering. My girl was pushing from the back. Unfortunately, she had never been through the process of pushing the car to pop the clutch, so she did not know to stop pushing when I hopped in the car. So once I popped the clutch and get the car moving, I look in the rearview mirror and she is nowhere to be found. I stopped the car. I didn't turn it off, of course. I get out to see where she went. She had fallen because she had still been trying to push the car as it started pulling away. I felt super bad. She had a hole in the knee of her work pants as she had driven from work to come help me. I asked her if she was okay, which she was, and both of us busted up laughing because the shit was hella funny. I keep the jumper cables in my car. Love you guys, love the show. Mm-hmm. Well, anonymous one, I know why you said anonymous. This is terrible. Two, I hope you married her, man. I hope that's a keeper. That's a keeper right there.
Yeah, she is.
Because in a world where AAA exists, you would have been on your own, buddy.
That's a keeper.
Yep. All right. Let me, like I said, let's go back to episode 1401. Just E says, on erasure from conversations about transgender people, you mentioned how trans men are often left out of these conversations. Non-binary, agender, and genderqueer people who fall under the trans umbrella, if we operate under the definition of trans being identifying as a gender other than the one assigned at birth, are also frequently left out of the conversation. I just wanted to put that out there. Yeah, you're absolutely right. There's, I mean, like I said, hold on, we have an issue. Let me refresh real quick. Give me 1 second. All right, we'll bring it right back.
So I say you just keep banging.
But if a nigga cut me off, I'm going to fuck crazy. You understand? Don't do it. Cut me off.
All right.
I almost want that to be a whole song.
Are we back yet? Can people see? Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. All right, everybody can see. All right, now back to the comment. But yeah, you're right. Yeah, I mean, like I said, we all learning. We all have like our own blind spots and privileges and shit. And honestly, I have even less exposure to people that are non-binary, agender, genderqueer. Like that's something that's a burgeoning territory for me, and I don't feel comfortable speaking on or about or for people that, you know, that are in a group where I definitely don't have any experience with that. Like I just want people to understand that this isn't about us being like, we're so woke and you guys don't know shit and we studied this and we're right. Like, I'm not trying to shame people. I literally don't fucking know what it's like.
Right.
So I go to the people that live that life and go, okay, this is what they say. I don't understand how it would be harmful to believe them. This doesn't seem to be like some, it doesn't seem to be like when, what do you call it? The 4chan people make up like these trolling things where like, I'm a pedophile gender or some shit where they're like clearly trolling to try to like be like, it's just another choice to have sex with children. I don't understand the problem. And you're like, okay, you're trying to couch it in quote unquote social justice warrior speak so that you can like defend this indefensible thing. That doesn't seem to be what's happening. It's just people being like, this is my fucking life. This is how I live my life. Like, it's not an act for Twitter or social media. And, you know, and literally people are dying, because this is their existence. And it just feels extremely wrong to come in and be like, no guys, you can't do this. Nope. Mm-mm. I got it figured out. Person that doesn't live your life or understand it, you know?
Right.
Alright, listening at work today, it's PhD 2014, listening at work all day today. I miss you guys so much, cannot wait for the Walking Dead recap. Craig Morgan is lit. Ari says, I guess I can understand trying to find some middle ground, but bending over backwards to give 45 a hand job for reading a teleprompter and not going off the rails seemed like quite a reach. In his first 100 days, he's ran around like a lunatic, signing EOs and repealing everything Obama did while accomplishing absolutely fucking nothing.
It ain't even been 100 days yet, has it?
Mm-mm. Right. And they're giving him props for just the, I mean, and he's trying to take credit for things Obama accomplished. Like, still, like, I've been in office and nobody talked about how I did this thing. You're like, because it wasn't you. You didn't have a chance to do shit yet.
Right. Like, nigga, all these numbers that you praising about, talking about more people signed up for the new healthcare plan. Because it's the old one, motherfucker. What are we talking about here? You don't get to claim other people's shit.
Right.
And it feels like forever. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you don't need to apologize. Yeah, we're really supposed to be impressed because he didn't show his whole entire ass in public this time. S is no, girl, bye. Yeah, Van Jones is just lowering the bar. I'm Sasha Pierce says, the discussion around Chimamanda's comments is so nuanced and interesting. Here's something I feel gets left out. I know trans women who identify very strongly as trans women and reject being referred to as just women when it's used without a qualifier as an umbrella term. They say, I'm not just a woman, I'm a trans woman. They want their identity and struggle to be seen and highlighted and not lumped into the experiences of cis women. The desire is specifically to be called a trans woman is very similar in the way that black women feminists claim that societal identity separate them from the default white concepts of womanhood and feminism. Yes, trans women should be allowed to speak for themselves, but interestingly, some of the more vocal advocates have a blind spot. Not all trans women are a monolith on this. You really have to ask people how they want to be referred to. In my circle, pushing the term woman, quote unquote real woman, comes with such a strong sense of erasure. I'm cis, but have questioned my gender identity in various ways growing up. I've been hurt and I've seen my friends hurt when well-meaning cis and trans women get too caught up in this idea of quote unquote real women. Chimamanda should be careful with her words, but some of the people expressing backlash often offend other trans women too. They don't realize that their insistence clumsily implies that women should be the standard to strive toward. This gives even more complicated controversial when the loudest advocates are the more traditionally femme presenting ones who can pass. Yeah, I hear you. I have not read those takes on this where trans people are saying Chimamanda was right. I don't want to be called a woman and trans women shouldn't be included in being a woman.
I haven't heard those either.
Right. And then more importantly, it wasn't like, I don't think it is like when black women say, I don't want to be included in basically feminism because it's a white thing. Cause they're not saying I'm not a woman.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like the default is still you get, like, you're in this group and you're a branch of this group. And Chimamanda's comments were very much, no, you're other. You're not a woman, period. Like, to couch it in nice flowery language, cool, but the same end of the day, you cannot be in this group. And when there are women who are trans who are saying, no, that was wrong, I don't understand how people can just be like, well, fuck those women, essentially. And I would have to see what the, like I said, I would have to see, like, trans women who are saying this, I agree with Chimamanda, we're not, in this group before, just saying something like that, cause I haven't seen any, and I've been looking for different opinions and reading different things on it, but I just haven't seen anybody express that.
Yeah, and even the women that says that they're trans women at the end, they still say women. So when people speak across the board in general, they just go women.
Right.
You know, and it is a subsection of the group of women. And I do understand that women go, hey, I'm a black woman, Asian woman, you know, that a trans woman, break it down like that. That's fine. But behind whatever description you want to give yourself is the term woman.
Right.
And the thing is, yes, within the group, people do want specific identities and they do want to stand out in their own unique ways. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. And the problem is that what she says is that she want to just kick them completely out of the group because these women that stand up and say, I'm a trans woman, they don't say, I am not a woman. They right. just said, I am a trans woman. Woman, like I distinguish a difference between that.
Right. It's like if somebody said I'm a black woman, we don't go, well, you're not a woman then, right? Right? Like that's a whole different group. Like if someone, you know, if someone were to say, well, black women aren't women, they're black women, we'd be like, the fuck do you mean by that? Like you're still a woman. Like you can't kick somebody out of womanhood because you dislike you know, or you feel like there's differences there. I mean, isn't that the point, is that there's differences among all this stuff? And like I said, once again, kind of just erases the idea that this would ever happen with manhood as well, you know. So I don't know, it's just like I said, it's definitely complicated, and I definitely understand that there's going to be people that view it differently, but a lot of people seem to be kind of talking over rather than letting people talk for themselves. And like I said, I just haven't read I haven't read a trans woman who has spoken about Chimamanda's comments and said, I agree with her and this is why she's right. Now it could, I'm sure it exists. I just haven't read it to even have to read it on the show even, you know. I've seen a lot of cis people try to say that, you know, to speak, like to say it, like to defend her basically, which I think has a lot more to do with her being a lot of people's fave more than anything else. Cause if this had been,
somebody they didn't like.
This had been somebody they didn't like, I feel like they would be like, oh no, fuck that. Like if this would have been Tyrese talking about trans women as trans women and women are women, people would have been like, man, what the fuck are you talking about? You know? Anyway, another person said, hey, and I hope I'm pronouncing this right. I'm sorry if I'm not. It looks like hey, Shaniki. If I'm pronouncing it wrong, I'm sorry. This is a really interesting discussion. I believe that trans women are women and they do not need cis women to speak for them, but I don't think saying that a cis woman's experience is different than a trans woman is attempting to speak for them. I don't think we're saying that either. I think everybody's saying that the experience is very
I'm not saying that they're not the same,
right?
I
feel like
completely not the same.
I'm not saying that the experiences are the same. I'm just saying no two women's experiences are the same. Mm-mm. But we don't then go, and that's why you're not a woman,
right?
However, I can also agree that while many people have explained that to be Adichie's point, that is not what she said. Like black women and white women, there are experiences that unite us as women, and there are differences. There are privileges that cis women have that trans do not. And I thought Laverne's response to Adichie's comments perfectly captured the complexity of intersectional identity. I at least appreciate the various perspectives from both trans and cis women on the subject and how they have informed my understanding of my position as a black woman. Mad Sanity says, this is supposed to be a poll response, but they replied in the chat, whatever, it's fine. Mad Sanity says, when I was in elementary school, we had those tire things football players used to do high knee drills on our playground, and one of the tires was not fully buried. While the class jerk who picked on me for being a big chubby kid, and possibly because I was also the only black kid in the class for the second year in a row, was busy trying to sword fight my smaller friend with a sharpened stick. When he backed my friend into a corner, I figured it was a good time to put the brakes on his bullying by hitting him with that loose tire. I don't remember much. I was 9 or 10 when this happened, but I do remember the tire being wet and smelly and the bully laying on the ground crying with the muddy tire tracks on his back. Whoops. Comment was meant for the poll, rookie mistakes. It's okay. I've had to fight a couple bullies in my time, and
I'm so glad I never had that problem.
Yeah, and every time I fought back, man, it really did end the problem.
You know what? I fought a bully one time, but they weren't bullying me. It was bullying my cousin, which is a completely different story. And that's because girls are bigger than boys, and then boys just kind of shoot higher than them, because even though I'm actually short, my growth spurt happened earlier before most boys, and so then I stopped growing. Everybody got taller than me. But yeah, I was about the 4th or 5th grade, and I was basically one of the tallest girls, or one of the tallest, you know, students, because, you know, I'm 4 or 5 feet almost at that age, when most people get taller later. And he was messing with my cousin, and honey, I couldn't fight worth a damn, but I sure did the old school windmill the hell out of him and pushed him all down. This was at summer camp, pushed him all down the bleachers, because I got tired of him picking on my cousin. It was like day after day after day, and I had said, I had enough of you, dog.
Yeah, I had a summer camp dude that tried to bully me over some baseball cards. They were trying to make these really unfair baseball card trades, and I didn't know shit about baseball. I'm sure they were getting the fuck out of me. He got mad about some shit, some card I wouldn't trade him, and I punched him in his motherfucking nose, and his nose started bleeding, and he was crying and shit, and he messed with me again. Brooklyn Shoe Bay says, speaking of bullying, I was bullied very badly in middle school, and every teacher or administrator's reaction was to pull me out of class whenever I would yell or try to retaliate. It wasn't the physical bullying, but the relational bullying that I went through. There was constant name calling, threats, etc. The scene in Moonlight where he walks determinedly in the class and beats his bully with a chair had me in tears, because that was me. I felt the last straw anger during the baseball game at recess. I had grabbed a baseball bat, marched to the cafeteria to bash my tormentors in the head. They weren't there, but I ended up chasing someone to the boys' bathroom and swinging at the door. Thank God I didn't hurt anyone. All right, yeah, who knows how they would have categorized you after that.
Right.
Recently at my daughter's middle school, 4 Muslim students were being so badly bullied post-Trump election that they brought knives to school. Now they're in trouble, and those who pushed them go unpunished. Schools are ill-equipped to deal with bullying. You can't just ignore it and it will go away.
Right.
EVE says, the story about the kid who fought back at the racist bully really triggered me, because sometimes you don't actually snap until the abuse has been ongoing. It reminds me of 2 incidents in my high school. One was me and the other was with this other girl. With the other girl, there was this girl, let's call her Tasha. Tasha zeroed in on this really petite girl we'll call Anna. Anna was so quiet and never bothered anyone that I noticed. Tasha would throw stuff at the girl and clown her every day, and one day Anna had had enough and told Tasha to leave her alone, but she said, leave me alone, you hippo. Tasha was on the big side. This set Tasha off and she went to hit Anna. What no one knew is that Anna had a black belt. I've never seen anyone get their ass kicked as badly as Tasha. There were loose braids on the ground, and a boy was clowning Tasha and picking up her hair saying, you forgot something. Man, that was funny. But Tasha only got in school suspension, and Anna got a whole week because she was told that she took it too far. Mm-hmm. The other story wasn't as entertaining because I snapped on this girl who wouldn't leave me alone, and it took me fighting back physically before she left me alone. I literally blacked out, but people say I won that fight. That girl did try to be nice to me afterwards, but fuck her. Sometimes bullies need to be taught a lesson before they leave you alone. I bet that kid's bully in North Carolina school will talk shit behind that kid's back, but he won't say it to his face. Yep. Rod, would you
thing. Just leave people alone? That's the thing, because the problem is that you persist, because maybe I'm old fashioned. Some people ain't never had an ass whooping, or they never had anybody punch them in the face and say, I've had enough for you. Like, they don't nobody has ever showed them boundaries. Sometimes it's not even ass whipping. Nobody has showed you that there are boundaries. There's only so far you can go. And if you've never been taught there's only so far you can go, somebody gonna teach you that lesson, and it's not gonna be in the results that you think it can be in. And it's sad for some people that end result is death. You know, you just hope you get an ass whipping, but sometimes some people are like, oh, fuck you, and they'll take your life. So I just hope that people learn the lesson. Leave people alone. That's all. People just want to live their lives. They don't want to be harassed. They don't want to be bothered by you because of your goddamn insecurities. A lot of times people are bullies because of their insecurities.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm glad you fought back. And same to that other girl. I remember I took Taekwondo. I learned a couple moves that could like take someone's punch and twist it into like putting their arm behind their back and shit. And so I didn't, you know, if it came down to it, sometimes you just had to do some shit like that. That's definitely how I got dude in the locker room. Rod, would you mind telling us what happened after you beat up your bully? Did you get in trouble? Did you both get in trouble? What did your parents say? Oh, I forgot I didn't even finish the story. Yeah. So I went to the office. I said, I just been in a fight. I had to defend myself. I need y'all to call my parents. And the dude was yelling, running towards the office, calling me all kinds of names and shit. So he kind of helped my case because
They seen it.
Yeah. They was like, okay, yep. Y'all both come in here. I explained exactly what happened. They called my parents. They called his parents. I believe that was when both our parents talked on the phone afterwards or something like that. And basically his dad made it plain to him to leave me the fuck alone. And after that, he didn't mess with me anymore. And the thing is, it had gone on for so long that, you know, we both were never going to be friends, I don't think, after that shit. But, you know, we still went to the same school for like 4 or 5 more years. So eventually it was like we got to the point where, we were cool enough. You know what I mean? And I think, in a weird way, it probably made him respect me on the level that he didn't, because he was a white kid and I was in these academically gifted classes and I was one of the few black kids in there. And I think he really thought I was a certain type of black kid, and I'm not trying to demean people that fall into that certain type of blackness, because there's nothing wrong with that
at all.
But I think he really thought I was the kind of black kid that had been raised around white kids my whole life and should have been intimidated and scared because I was this only black kid in this classroom of white people. And he just had the wrong one. Like, I grew up in a neighborhood where it was mostly black kids. We fought at the bus stop, fought playing basketball, talk shit on the bus. Like, it was just like, it was kind of a way of life without it being like gang violent type shit, but just as kids, you know, it's a little bit rough. To me, it was more like, my parents had taught me not to be using fighting as a general response to just everything.
Right.
And to avoid shit, because, you know, fights do escalate. And especially, you know, at the time in the 90s and shit, you know, you fight somebody, you get shot later on, or someone bring a gun to a basketball court or something like that. So, like, it was definitely not the situation where you needed to go around just fighting as a way of life, because, you know, you just never know the end results of violence. But, you know, at the same time, they didn't raise us to be victims who didn't fight back. Like, they didn't raise us to be on some, like, well, just let them beat you up either, you know. So if someone put their hands on me, I have the right to defend myself. So, you know, I had to explain it to my dad, because my dad is very much like a fucking detective.
Honey, yes,
when it comes to like asking a million questions and all the follow up, and
you get tired of him, but
multiple different ways of asking the same question,
right,
to see if you're lying or to see if you're gonna slip and be like, and that's why I punched that nigga in the face first, you know. But I was telling the truth. Now the other thing, like, if the truth is on your side, then you don't have to lie and make shit up or twist anything. And I didn't have to make up anything, because the shit just lined up perfectly into me whooping his ass and not being in trouble. And that was it. My dad told me a long time ago, actually, when I got kicked off the bus and I lied about it, he had told me, if you tell the truth, then I'm gonna always have your back. But if you out here, you know, lying and shit, I can't trust you. So how can I basically go advocate for you at this school when you telling me a version of the truth, quote unquote, as opposed to what actually happened, you know? So nothing happened to me. I didn't get suspended at all. I didn't get a warning. The teachers didn't say anything to me. A dude got his ass whooped, and literally I was not in trouble at all. So appreciate you asking, V. Jay writes in, I just want to say that Karen's observations about the lottery, I mean, about the battery-powered toothbrush are on point. I've used them and the vibrations are strong as hell. I've been told by my dentist they are better at cleaning your teeth overall, like you said as well, Rod. I also wanted to discuss white feminism and being objectified. Honestly, I used to consider myself a feminist until I learned about the racism within the group when women were fighting for the right to vote. I know a few women of color who consider themselves womanists for that exact reason. I'm a womanist who occasionally loves to be objectified, but like Karen said, you can look at my titties and ass, but don't disrespect me.
Right.
Also, for the douchebag podcaster, forget his name, that seriously is a shitty thing for him to do to women and then try to align himself with feminism. Fuck out of here. You're a wolf in sheep's clothing. And also, I never got to tell you guys that even though the LGBTQ news is almost always bad news, I dance when the music comes on while I imagine myself in a cool 70s disco. As a member of the community, I appreciate that you guys speak out on these issues. Y'all are my faves. Two hearts. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. What I imagine myself, even though I can't roller skate that well, I imagine myself in some roller skates and some long socks up to my knees and some shorts just skating around.
You know, it's funny too, I think people don't get that when it comes to like that podcaster, and he wants to be like kind of a womanizer and out there. It sounded like he had talked himself into a hole, because that really wasn't his life or the life he led. But there's a lot of women that deal with men that basically be like, I treat women like shit.
Yeah,
there's some women that just don't give a fuck. And like, if that was the case, you don't have to lie. I don't even know why people make that their lie, because it's just so, like, you can, like, he could have been like, listen, I like and want women and I'm for equality to a certain extent, but I'm not perfect. And yes, I'm out here trying to fuck these women. And you know what? There's a lot of women that be like, I can deal with that. You know what I mean? Not like, like, rather than like, I'm gonna trick them into thinking I'm the wokest motherfucker on the planet and get into their draws. Like, there's a lot of women that are, would not feel a sense of betrayal from a dude that's like, hey man, I'm just trying to work it out. Like, y'all, I'm not perfect. I don't know everything. I can't always see it from your point of view, but I'm definitely trying to get in them draws. And there's a lot of people that are like, close enough.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. And that's the thing. Give people the option. Just be like, hey, this is what it is. And people, that's why a lot of people just amazed. Well, he telling you he ain't shit. Well, a lot of them go, well, he being truthful, and I'm down for the cause.
Yeah, there's somebody out here fucking every problematic person on the planet. Like, everybody that just says some fuck shit that we're all like, I can't believe people even like him. It's somebody that's like, at least he honest, and they pulling them draws down. Like,
boom.
It's so weird to use that as the hustle, but I think that's how some people see the world, is like, mm-hmm. This is my hustle and this is my way in. But it's like, you can't live that falsehood forever, man. Mm-hmm. You eventually, you will get exposed, especially in a day and age where motherfuckers got screenshots, there's digital records of every interaction you have with people.
Yes.
The DMs and shit don't ever go away. You can delete a tweet and somebody still got it in the Library of Congress. Like, I don't understand how people try to keep playing these games in this day and age. Like, you will get caught. Why not just keep it real? But that could just be me. And lastly, Desiree says, so two things about this episode. First, I'd like to thank you, y'all, for talking about the Jamie dude during the election. I started listening to a bunch of different podcasts to keep up with the Orange was bullshit. Citizen Radio was one of them. I liked it okay. They talked about things important to me, so I listened longer than I would have than if I just started listening for entertainment and not due to the election. A few episodes in, I realized that I needed to, and did, skip the first 20 minutes of every episode because it was just Jamie talking about himself, first red flag. And even after that initial 20, I was bothered by Jamie always interrupting Allison, usually to talk about himself, and the fact that they were two cis straight white people who really cared about minorities, not enough to have them on as guests to the show.
Come on, you for the same thing. I look at Young Turk sideways.
Yeah.
I mean, they do get black people on there, but not enough for all the shit they talk about. You need to have more brown people, right? Like, these people you advocate for, have them talk on your platform. They got voices too, and they can speak for themselves.
Yeah, what do you do when they disagree?
Right. They don't want to bring you on the show then.
Like, if the only time you roll over to your black producer to get them on the mic is when you're about to say some fucked up shit that racially, so they can go, oh, you got a point. You know, that's not really having a black voice on your show, but I, you know, whatever. I remember during Netroots protest, the Young Turks had that black dude who's like a producer, and it was like he was just there for the cosign, you know,
like
that dude is there to get a check too. It's like, if you just rolled over to your, a lot of us, if you were at work in your cubicle and your boss rolled up and said, what do you think about blank, they might not get the opinion that is the most inflammatory, honest opinion that you have. You might give the opinion of, I want to keep working here tomorrow and I need a check. So that's kind of how his answer sounded. Now maybe that's his genuine opinion, but it also was like, it feels like you're just going to the outsourcing the black friend cosign on this. Which, yeah, it's interesting, you know? And it's not like black people are some small group of, you know, when it comes to liberals and democratic politics. Like, you could definitely have somebody on that, you know, that can speak on these things.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I quit listening well before the election was over. After y'all talked about it, I figured I'd listen to the show again. Surprise, surprise. The first episode I listened to happened to have Keisha Zoller, and they were talking about Mike Brown. Now, I'm not saying y'all single-handedly fixed that podcast, but I'm not saying it either. I can't take credit for that. I can't take credit for anybody else's podcast. But that's dope if, especially, and that's another thing, if it's now Allison's podcast, Allison Kilkenny. I would not be shocked if they got more guests on and guests of different perspectives. Because, one, I think women are just by nature more intersectional than the men in general.
Because we forced to be.
Right, right. But still, it's, I think right. it improves your product. Mm-hmm. And then two, I think I wouldn't be shocked if you want to make an effort, you know, in a way that you might not have. And I think people don't want to give up or get off of their platform, which I understand. If you built a platform, it is yours first. It is not for the world. And if it fails or succeeds, that firstly is going to go on you, which I completely understand as a person, as two people that have a platform. Completely understand the idea of like the people are here for my thoughts and opinions. But at the same time, if you do have guests and that is a thing that you do, I guess it is telling if you're just like, we're never gonna have black people on to discuss this shit or, you know, whatever, you know. Although like I said, they do a completely different type of show. Like they do a political show specifically about that shit. You know, I understand, like if I listen to like a comedy podcast and they just have on fucking comedians, or if I listen to if I listen to a sports show and they just have fucking dude bros on and shit, I understand, like they not trying to be intersectional and woke and all that shit. But I think if your political podcast is about having all these different perspectives and just nobody ever happens to be on to give that perspective, or you're not reading things from that perspective, or you're not helping spread the word for people from that perspective, it does seem a bit weird, you know, and exclusionary. But at the same time, like I said, it could just be that they weren't comfortable with that, or maybe just the ones you listened to, maybe they just didn't, the ones you heard, they didn't have them on there or whatever. But I think that shit does help with blind spots and stuff, having people in your community and your fans and stuff that can kind of write in and help, because there were so many white podcasts I can't listen to on politics because I remember listening to them take Trump as a joke.
Right.
You know, I still remember the first and only episode of Abe Lincoln's Top Hat I listened to where they were shitting on Hillary Clinton and talking about how interesting it would be to sit in a room with Donald Trump. And I thought, this is, and they were supposed to be this liberal podcast. I was like, this is why the fuck he gonna win. You know what I mean? And that shit was like March of last year. And I was like, man, white people just are not ready to fight this on any level. Like,
he's cute and cuttable.
Yeah, it has to get to emergency status before they can do that.
Right. And it's always an emergency for black people, brown people, and minorities, and, you know, and women. It's always actually an emergency for us.
Yeah.
But particularly white males.
Yeah, and also I do think it is a fine line. It's very difficult between having guests on to like explain their humanity and shit. Cause I fucking hate when shows are like, let's have a black person on because some racist happened. Hey, black person, that we never call any other time. Can you explain to us why Andre Iguodala can't say the N-word? You know, like, so I understand the reluctance sometimes to be put people in an awkward position, but. You know,
right, and I understand why some black people that go to be like, no, I am not here to explain my humanity unless you're really calling me to have a real nuanced conversation or interview me about some shit I'm doing. Don't waste my goddamn time.
Like, I don't want to be the Black Lives Matter correspondent on y'all show. Like, I
just to put my face on TV. No,
yeah, I can totally understand that as well. So I don't know, but like I said, I don't really listen to that show, so I'm not trying to shit on that show, to be honest. But if losing a host ends up helping them out because they get a whole bunch of different perspectives and stuff, that's dope, man. When Hemda was sick on Keith and the Girl, got introduced to so many different voices that I probably wouldn't have heard.
Yeah.
So many different perspectives and stuff that I wouldn't have heard. Mm-hmm. And they kept it going even when she returned. And that's beautiful, man.
It
that's,
is.
It's difficult to do all this booking and shit, especially when you're working for yourself. But that's always dope. So good for them, and I hope that podcast continues to do well, man. And I'm sure that Jamie dude will be back in some way, shape, form, you know, at some point. So we'll see what happens then. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if he'll be back on the show, but you know, he ain't gonna just disappear.
His brand ain't gonna disappear.
Yeah, he gotta make money somehow. Second and final thing, finally fighting the fuck back. Well, I was certainly aware of my place in the social hierarchy. I wouldn't consider myself bullied in school, with a few exceptions, the biggest being the time this girl in seventh grade kept talking shit to me in class when we had a sub. I was a good girl and did not want did what I was taught. I ignored her. That didn't deter her. She actually seemed to feed on it. She kept talking and saying how pathetic I was to not say anything back. With a few girls egging her on, she finally just walked over to where I was sitting and slapped me across the face. Woo. Out of instinct, I kicked her in the stomach immediately. Suddenly, the sub noticed me. Sub noticed something going on. Apparently, the bitch hadn't noticed a girl standing up talking shit to a student who was trying to do her work the whole damn class.
Right.
We both got sent to the principal, and the girl who was messing with me got suspended. She had a long track record of bad behavior, and I got a Saturday detention. That's the worst. I wanted to know why I was in trouble at all. Was I just supposed to let her hit me? Zero tolerance is the only answer I got. Yeah, zero tolerance is really for people that to take the work out of being a enforcer.
I fucking hate zero tolerance policies.
Mm-hmm.
They're fucking lazy. They're lazy because you don't want to look and investigate and use judgment and nuance and shit like that. And most of the time, zero tolerance policies across the board affect brown people more than any other group, because we never get the benefit of the doubt. And when you have zero tolerance policies, that's just an excuse to swipe across the board. Because even with these zero tolerance policies, a lot of times you have white children that are accused a lot of this shit, but they find ways sometimes to wipe off the book or give a warning or some shit. But with you, that's where the zero tolerance policy kicks in. It's still not zero tolerance across the board.
Yep. The lesson I learned, none, from the fucking school. They didn't do shit to help me. Just punished me for finally fighting back. Life lesson, the girl never fucked with me again. I never had anyone hitting me with a hairbrush on the bus again. I generally didn't get fucked with in school again, all because I finally fought back. Ignoring bullies doesn't work, but kicking the asshole who slaps you just might. And the poll was simple. Have you ever fought a bully? And the answers were yes, no, and I've never been bullied. 5% of people never been bullied.
Good for you, baby.
That mean you was the bully, son of a bitch. Y'all not slick. 26% say no, and 69% say yes. They fought back. Mad Sanity says, when I was in elementary school, we had those tire things football players use to do knee high. Oh, wait. Okay, so this is the one.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. We already read that. All right, let's go to the next episode, 1402. Save your emails. This is the one we had to be like, all right, stop writing in with your... But let me explain to you what trans people really are going through, even though I'm not, and I have no reason to believe this.
Right.
All right. So, Black_Dante, Confucius Jeremy writes in. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. Noir Dynamite writes in. Dear Karen and Rob, people emailing y'all about stuff y'all said not to email y'all about is annoying as fuck. Agreed. That's some childish behavior right there. You two work too hard for people to ignore your simple request just because they gotta get their comments in. Ugh. It's not even like you two talked about something difficult to understand when discussing Chimamanda.
Right.
The overarching point, let trans women tell their own stories. What's there to discuss? These types, the type of individuals who have to get his/her opinion out there regardless of how it'll be received, are some of the worst people online in real life. I'm going on and on about this, but it irks me so much. Y'all shouldn't have to sift through this shit when you're constantly providing us with a safe place to frequent and high quality content to get through these trying times. To revisit a quote y'all have mentioned, silence is free. Some of those people who wrote in need to take advantage of the free cost of silence. Thank y'all for being y'all. Love y'all. Jairus, aka DNIB, that nigga in Beijing. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
And yeah, man, I mean, we like to have people write in with feedback and shit, but some of this shit is just not up for debate, man. You know, I mean, we used to, when we first started kind of talking about social issues a bunch of years back, you know, we talk about how like stupid homophobia was, and we used to get people that were writing, call in and be like, well, what about this and what about that? And it's like, dog, I'm never going to be like, and in this case homophobia is okay,
right?
So what the fuck was the point of all that shit? I don't care about your religion and yeah, and all that shit. None of that makes it okay to me, you know. But I think, you know, this is like a new, in a lot of people's point of view, it's like a new idea to play with academically and not actually viewing people as humans.
Right.
Jeremy writes in, if I may share a story, I'll try to make it quick. A couple years ago, I followed a cishet black woman who was a feminist. She was having a conversation with a white trans woman. It was a conversation about womanhood in which the cis woman said she's an ally and supports trans women, but that trans women aren't fully women because they can't do some things that cis women can, like give birth or have periods. Mind you, not all cisgender women can do those things either.
Come on.
She basically said that a trans woman is 3/5 of a full woman, and if that wasn't bad enough, she told a trans woman that she had no right to be offended at her not respecting her as a full woman. Mind you, you just said another woman's humanity is invalid, but the trans woman had no right to be offended? The fuck? Even before I became aware and knowledgeable as I am now, I was just thinking in my mind, damn, that is fucked up. And the trans woman was heartbroken because this was coming from someone she thought was for her humanity.
Right.
That's how I see a lot of cis, quote unquote, allies feel via their privilege and attitudes whenever transgender issues are brought up. Yeah, it just goes up the chain, but yeah, absolutely. You know, and I don't know what, it's gotta be hurtful for a lot, just like it's gotta be hurtful for black women that are feminists when you see white women that are feminists but then turn out to be kind of racist.
Right.
Especially if you grew up with like, oh, that's my icon, or oh yeah, I like her, she seemed like a cool person, and then they just had that moment where you're like, oh, they don't really fuck with me though, which sucks, man. So I can't imagine. And yeah, I've seen that. I remember I saw a dude maybe a couple weeks ago, he got into it with there was a gay white dude that called him the N-word. So then his response was to call the gay white dude a faggot on Twitter. And so then when all the people that were like the black dude's friends and whatever were like, hey man, that's homophobic and you shouldn't do that, and he's like, oh, so he could just call me a nigga? It's like, no, that's not what we're saying. He's fucked up too, but at some point you cross the line. And what's the lesson I'm supposed to learn if I'm your friend and I'm gay? Is the lesson here, yeah, we cool as long as we don't disagree, and then I'm back to being called these names? Is right. This how you really feel about me, but under the name of quote unquote tolerance, you just hold back, but come secretly on. This is how you really feel about all gay people. Mm-hmm. And he just went on and on about being a real victim and everybody's too PC and all this shit. And
it's always 2PC when you won't talk your shit, right?
Right. And that's kind of how I think some of this shit comes off, where people are like, I'm the real victim here because I can't basically talk for you. Because people are saying, look, that's not my experience and what you're saying is wrong. And they're like, no, now see, you guys, this is where I draw the line and this is why I can't see, you know, that kind of shit. Anyway, but Mill 73 says, seems pretty simple to me. When I first saw Chimamanda's comments, I thought they sounded reasonable until I saw what the trans women I follow on Twitter were saying. These are the people who live that life, and if they say their comments are unreasonable and hurtful, it's a wrap. The comments aren't reasonable and hurtful. No debate necessary, especially for people of color who have to deal with others invalidating our concerns about racist shit daily. Yeah, I guess that's the other thing, because the way I see the world, I just see like parallels and shit like that. So I'm just like, well, that feels the way that it feels when we say, you know, when white people say shit like, well, you know, in the inner city, these black kids are killing each other and that's why they need law and order. And all these black people speak up and say, that's not our experience and that's not true. Like, what you're saying is going to harm people and you're not, and you don't know our lives. Like, and they're like, shut the fuck up. These black people don't know what they're talking about. Just keep talking over them and saying, this is what they're experiencing. It feels a bit like that. You know, now I can't say it's a one-to-one thing, obviously, but it feels a lot like when white people just keep having this discussion over the voices of black people that are already telling you, like, no, let me speak for myself. So, I don't know, it seems more simple to, like, in those cases, I wish people would just go to black voices and let them speak for themselves. I feel like that's what should happen here, too. Upon further reflection of the comments, I realized I should have seen them for the bullshit that they are. I had a homie in high school who was very effeminate. Please note that I'm not implying this is the same as being trans. This was back in Jamaica, which, as we all know, is extremely homophobic. Any male privilege he enjoyed was undercut by how he was treated by other boys. This notion that use the Wachowskis and Caitlyn Jenner as representatives of the typical trans experience is like saying Jaden and Willow Smith have the typical black experience.
Right.
Yeah, it's a black experience, but it's not a typical one. I love her, but she fucked up. She has this blind spot and showed it, and I would hope she recognizes it and comes around. Sadly, trans people simply can't afford to wait around and hope people evolve someday.
Come on.
Every day, there seems to be news of a story of a trans woman being murdered, then misgendered in death. It may be academic for me, but it's life and death for them. Chimamanda definitely gets in. It's not me, it's you for this week. Keep doing your thing. Yeah, like it's sad that it's just the fact. I really think for a lot of people, it's just the fact that she's their fave.
Right.
It's sad that that's all it takes for people. But that was like a recurring theme last week for me. It was just realizing how many people just when it's their fave. All the shit just goes out the window. It just don't matter. Which is unfortunate, man. Ari says, yes, Karen. I'm so here for your beauty supply store rant thread. Read. The story in Charlotte is absolutely ridiculous and completely unnecessary. Yeah, there was an Asian shop owner that literally put a black woman in a chokehold over $5.99 worth of eyelashes he claims she stole, which there's no proof of her stealing. He had no right to jump on that woman like that, and now that he's been caught, he wants to act remorseful and apologetic. Everything you described is exactly what I have experienced, from taller cash registers to mirrors everywhere to being monitored by the employees, even though I have shopped there for years.
Right.
Tackling someone over some eyelashes is wild as fuck. I hope his business suffers and that they close that motherfucker down. In the words of Karen, fuck you. C Chance says, I should not have to explain my humanity. Karen, that was the truest, most deep, coldest shit I've heard in forever. I've been listening, trying to think of a comment that would elicit your good, deep fried Southern country ass laugh or at least get the CSI sound, and I'm hoping for it, but no jokes, no puns. That quote alone, goddamn. Y'all keep doing your thing. Rod, I want in on the Facebook group. Mm-mm. All bullshit aside, you guys get me through my workday. I'm tired of explaining to my coworkers who voted for 45 why I deleted them and otherwise don't fuck with them anymore. And judging from the feedback show, it's obvious I'm not alone. It does my heart good to how you two have touched people's lives all over the globe, and y'all are from NC. Thanks.
Thank you.
Brooklyn Shoe Bay says, I really appreciate the discussions. I'm a 44-year-old woman, and growing up, we just didn't discuss gays, lesbians, or transgender people. Hell, I don't think I really heard proper terminology until I was in my late teens. Like you said, Rod, trans people always existed, but people called them different things like he, she, or lady boy. Right. It wasn't until I got to college that my eyes really got open. I went to NYU, which is a liberal university in the Gay Center of New York. Plus, I took a couple of sexuality and gender courses in college in the very early 1990s. Over the years, I've learned from reading books, watching documentaries, and just asking questions. I want to learn and know because I don't want to offend anyone out of accidental ignorance. The world is changing, and I want to be equipped. Yeah, essentially. I mean, it's that simple for me, man. I don't want to be any more harmful than I'm just going to be naturally anyway. You know, if you can learn to do something better or learn about a concept, I don't see why it's so fucking threatening, you know, but people feel very threatened by just this idea that something would be different, you know. EVE says, I was surprised people were debating on whether the woman in the video was the nanny or the wife. Oh yeah, that video with the guy interviewed for the BBC. I was too busy laughing at how bold that little girl was when she bust in the room twerking. Strange. I guess I'm just oblivious to this stuff. As far as a Korean shop owner, shopping in Korean hair shops was one of the many reasons I went natural. I work too hard for my money to spend it in a place where I get treated like dirt. Mm-hmm. I hope they have to close shop, but what will probably happen is that they'll close that shop and open it elsewhere under another name and hope people don't remember. Right. I hope the locals stay diligent in getting those racist ass store owners out of the mix because they do not need to be serving the community. They could have killed her. I feel equally fucked with that he wasn't charged for a crime. He's assaulted that and it turns out that she didn't steal anything. Fuck them. Support black owned hair businesses. Like I said, they wonder why the curl kit popping, man. Like, I ain't got to worry about these. I just send me some products, and I ain't got to worry about nobody looking in a mirror.
Love that.
Nobody going to choke me.
Send straight to my house.
Right.
Racism free.
Mm-hmm. Me Myself in Life says, Rod, like you, I viewed the video of the man getting his interview derailed by his family without any sort of input. I watched the video without sound at first and instantly assumed that the woman was the children's mother, but later confirmed it when I rewatched it with the sound and heard the little girl say, Mom, why? In Korean. After all the discussion it caused, I wonder if my view of things was so different from everyone else because I currently live in Korea and see white and Asian interracial couples all the time. It never even crossed my mind that she was a nanny, and it really bothered me that people assume that. Also, the video with the Korean clerk putting that woman in a chokehold really was triggering for me. Like I said, I live in Korea. Anti-blackness is real here too. I often go into stores and will be followed around by clerks for no other reason than my skin color. These same clerks will ignore my white and Korean friends and will hover over me the entire time, to where sometimes I just get fed up and decide not to buy anything. Another thing that really got to me about the situation was the way some black men were reacting to it. Oh God, what did we do? A lot of them were saying that if she had stolen from the owner, then they had no sympathy for her and that she was in no real danger of being strangled to death. What?
I can believe that.
Now see, imagine saying that shit when Eric Garner was getting choked out. Mm-hmm. You know? These motherfuckers. They chastised black women for buying weaves and nails and eyelashes. Oh God. And giving into the white man's beauty standards, just basically derailing the conversation.
Right, that's the whole purpose of the conversation. What about me? What about me? That's what that conversation sings.
It's just so disheartening to see black men defend this whenever the owner himself said he was wrong for what he did. These same men are up in arms the way Eric Garner was treated, but can't see how this situation is just as wrong. It blows my mind. Yeah, that's the thing about chokehold, man. You don't know. You ain't a professional. You could crush somebody's windpipe and kill them. And now you got a fucking murder case on your hands. And yeah, it's sad. The brothers will opt out of some shit, man. You know, it's a cold world, man. People, you really can't look up to nobody and really can't expect better from anybody. People are about as loyal to circumstances when it comes to this shit. You know, I still hear brothers trying to figure some way out to defend Nate Parker. And it's been months, you know, it's sad. Like, they're never going to be a better person than they are today, and they're resigned to it. Anyway, sorry for such a long post. Thanks for all that you do. I listen to the show daily. It's a great way for me to keep updated on what's going on back home. P.S. Karen, you are my absolute favorite.
Thank you.
All right, let me go to the next session real quick, guys. We'll be right back on screen, right up against the break. All right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you motherfuckers. Okay. All right. I'm putting cases on all you bitches. Huh? You think you can do this shit? Yay! You think you can do this to me? You motherfuckers will be playing basketball in Pelican Bay when I get finished with you. Shoe program, nigga. 23-hour lockdown. I'm the man up in this piece. You'll never see the light of day. Who the fuck you think you fucking with? I'm the police. I run shit here. You just live here. Yeah, that's right. You better walk away. Go and walk away, because I'm going to burn this motherfucker down. King Kong ain't got shit on me.
All right. Janica says, the dog story you read happened at the apartment complex I used to live at. What the fuck happened to that place? Shaking my damn head. And lastly, did you get a chance to try the Naked Chicken Chalupa? That was an emotional moment on the show.
Mm-hmm.
56% said, I wouldn't ever eat that. You snobs. 32% said, no, I wasn't able to get one. And 12% said, mind mouth did taste the glory. Welcome to my club, guys. I was in that 12%. All right, 1403, never a bridesmaid. Talked about a bunch of different stuff. Mm-hmm. One of them was the cost of being a bridesmaid and
very expensive.
What it would cost to pay women what they're worth, for all the investment in time. Bamil 73 says, on Sam Jackson's comment, he does somewhat have somewhat of a point, but it's rooted in white supremacy, probably not well illustrated by using Get Out, which is a black production, as an example. The U.S. and Europe seem to work on a principle that those niggers from over there are better than our niggers over here. Mm-hmm. But that, by that I mean that black people from elsewhere seem to be treated a lot better than homegrown ones. I recently read an essay written by Malcolm Gladwell back in 1996 that explored why West Indians seem to do better than American blacks in the New York area. Further, study showed that white people in hiring positions told themselves that these West Indians had a better work ethic than local blacks. They seem to have that perception for no other reason than that the immigrants were from somewhere else. Ironically, though, in Toronto, where there had been an explosion of the black population in the 1960s, when West Indians started moving here in droves, they were seen as loud, lazy, and possessing a bad work ethic by the 90s. On the flip side, in Europe, black Americans are treated with deference, especially in Paris and London. Since the 20s, African Americans like Josephine Baker and James Baldwin immigrated to Europe to find that they were treated like royalty compared to the segregation and shit they left behind. Today, black tourists are not treated like black locals, who face the type of shit black people face back in the States. It brings to mind the standing ovation that Baldwin got at Oxford back in the day. Yep. Yeah, one of the other things I find interesting about that too is, most of y'all are black probably, but, being in the workplace with white people that view us with all the stereotypical bullshit that is in this country, you know, like that shit just doesn't go away. You know, people that vote for Trump work at your job.
And some of them will loudly let you know.
Well, if it's a white man, it's like a 70% chance, right? Like, people that, view you through a stereotypical lens and all the hundreds of years of just, propaganda and negativity that has gone at our race as black people, like those people work right there every day. They make decisions in your life every single day. And that shit just doesn't go away, man. I think, when you think about the microaggressions of like I said, when I was in corporate America, and I would be treated as antisocial and at the same time too social. At the same time, like it would be like, Rod, you're not talking to people enough. Get out, talk to your workmates and shit. There needs to be, you know, like everybody, you know, needs to know how cool of a person you are. I start doing that. Roger, you're not at your desk. You're talking too much. You're socializing. Make sure you're not over socializing. And keep in mind, this wasn't some extreme. This wasn't like I went from, I don't ever want to talk to these motherfuckers to all of a sudden I'm over at everybody's desk 8 hours a day. It was just literally, I couldn't do anything right. And I really think after, I don't know, 15 years in corporate America, that's not on me, dog.
Yep. So, you know, I can't speak for anybody else. I've been through that too, and it's so fucking confusing. Like, fuck it, I'm just anti-goddamn social thing, because you can't have it both ways.
Right. But here's the thing, when you're anti-social, it ends up trapping you in this maze of, well, now we're not going to promote this person, certain jobs aren't going to be open to you, certain opportunities and people in positions that can help you in your career, they're not going to ever, you're never going to meet them or talk to them, they're never going to take a shine to you, they might not put you under their wing. And it's one of the ways that white people keep getting socially promoted and rewarded, because while everyone that's not white is kind of at work swimming through this type of water, white people are effortlessly maneuvering because they're not being pushed against that way in many cases, and vice versa, and same thing for like women and things of this nature. Like anything that other than white male, there's gonna be this tide pushing against you. And yeah, it definitely affects people, but the way that it's viewed in corporate America isn't, well, what's wrong with corporate America? It's what's wrong with you?
Right.
Like, why aren't you succeeding as a black person in this environment? What are your deficiencies? And very much of how we measure what a good quote unquote, marginalized person is in corporate America is very much just about, how do you acclimate to whiteness?
Right.
You know, are you singing at the Christmas party? Are you dancing, teaching everybody the electric slide? Are you going out for beers after work? Are you, you know,
participating in company events?
Right.
You know, all jokes aside, you know, it's one of those things where I ain't trying to be funny. You end up with two people, in particularly black people in corporate America. You have the ones that quote unquote play the games.
Mm-hmm.
they still keep their blackness, but a lot of them play the games, but some of them actually sell their blackness out to play those games. Mm-hmm. Then you have the other group that say, fuck y'all, I'm not want to play your game, I don't give a fuck about it, I'm just gonna come here, do my work, and goddamn go home. And it's one of the, it's like you either fall in one of those two categories. There's no nuance for us.
Right. Meanwhile, it's, you're lazy and shit if you go the other route.
Right. And meanwhile, you have white coworkers that don't do shit, that actually a lot of them aren't even efficient at their job, or a lot of times don't even know how to goddamn do their job. A lot of times they end up being promoted and being sometimes straight hired in positions over you, where you literally have to teach them how to do their job. So it's one of those things where once you realize, for some people, not always, but for some people, it's just a big ass trap. And I will say this, and I will continue to say this, when it comes to corporate America, a lot of times the only reason why I'm here is because the law said that you had to let me in here, not because you freely wanted me to come through these doors.
All right, Tanya W42 says, oh my gosh, Karen's comment, the only thing Barack is tapping is Michelle's ass, lol, I'm dead, love you too, all the best. Amani writes in, the Henrietta Lacks story is one of the most infuriating examples of the jig rising. When we say this country's wealth was built on the backs of black bodies, people like to pretend that ended in slavery. If they acknowledge that much, this shit never stopped. Hell, you were just talking about everybody profiting off of own fleek, but peaches. Even Kit Kat is in on the game, joking, but only kinda. Oh yeah, man. Kit Kat made an advertisement that showed a dude taking a bite of the Kit Kat without breaking it into pieces and then disappearing, and I was like, nigga, y'all know that's me. What y'all doing, Kit Kat? Shame on y'all. Y'all, I don't mind y'all having my idea, but y'all know y'all could have at least broke me off a box of Kit Kats.
Shot me out something.
That's bad. I ain't even, but you know what's funny? My shit went more viral than they shit. Yeah. And they sent it out from like the Kit Kat US Twitter account, and my shit still got more hits. Y'all evil for that Kit Kat. Y'all wrong, man. That's why I eat y'all shit the wrong way. Cause fuck it. Y'all wrong for that. Also, I figured out how to make Sam Jackson happy and saw this black British actor riff. He just needs Arian Foster to head over there and play some of their roles. It's only fair. Yeah, Arian Foster's British accent is horrible. He would definitely stick out like a sore thumb. AO says, the only thing about the hella cells from Henrietta Lacks is the fact that other people with immortal cells have been compensated. Oh, he says the other thing, not the only thing. And if I remember it correctly, they have been white. So the narrative that her cell tissue being medical waste feels moot in light of the fact that there are examples of the medical research community getting informed consent before experimenting. Also, this is a $1 trillion industry that continues to profit from her contribution. Contribution feels like a choice, so I'll say continues to profit from her this theft. Justice has not been served. By the way, the book is a fantastic read. Yeah, and there's a movie coming out too in April, and Oprah's starring in it. Ja Hawkins says, I was never a bridesmaid, but a matron of honor at my friend's, Ja or is it Jay? I'm sorry, either way. But I was a matron of honor at my friend's wedding. It was a destination wedding to Florida. And of course, there was the cost of the dress, shoes, hotel, and plane ticket. I was not about that life after I found out the total cost. Luckily, it was almost a year in advance. She knew I couldn't afford it. Damn. That's also weird. It's like, I know you can't afford it, but come to my wedding. Where's it at? The moon? Oh, so do you really not want me there or what? Miss Danny 10 says, hey, I was gonna write an email, but I figure I'd just leave a comment here. The story of Henrietta Lacks and the Tuskegee syphilis experiment done by the government in 1932 and 1972 through 1972 have been two of the things that inspired me to go into medicine as well as research. During my undergrad time at Tuskegee University as biology major, TU, you know, shout out to HBCUs, I got to learn more in depth about the medical research as it pertains to the black community. We even take classes and have a museum in the building built around the hospital where the syphilis experiment took place. It was remodeled National Center for Blothex in Research Healthcare. Oh, or is it Blowethics? I don't know which one that was. Anyway.
Blowethics. That's how somebody got a PhD in dick sucking.
God, Karen.
You said it. Blow ethics.
Seeing Miss Ever.
I got my master's in that blow ethics, dog. Let a doctor suck that dick.
Okay, now back to the second table.
was trying to read your very serious email, Danny. I'm sorry.
I derailed it with blow and think. I can't help it.
Seeing Mrs. Elver Boys show a little more about the showed a little more about the treatment of the men in the Tuskegee experiment, all the government did was offer a funky ass apology in 1997. Due to what happened in each story, researchers and physicians have now have to take a medical research ethics courses, give participants informed consent forms, which are thoroughly explained to the individual before they sign it, and they have to submit an IRB or even to even have a human research trials approved. I'm grateful for it's pronounced HeLa. I'm grateful for HeLa cells and that and the many advancements in the medical community that have been made with them, but I hate how they have been obtained, and the fact that Henrietta nor her family can get any compensation. I've never worked with those cells, but I do work for human donor cells in the lab in order to find treatments for individuals with sickle cell disease. Today, donors are given compensation for their initial donation of cells, but aren't given anything further. I.e., if I donated cervical cells for a study, I get paid a sum for the donation, but if they take those cells to find a cure for AIDS, I don't get the payment. The protocol is that the informed consent form tells the individuals everything about this study and what the doctors will do with any sample that's collected from the participant. Well, thank you. That was an informative comment.
I mean, I still didn't think that's fucked up, but at least you get some form of conversation. She got $0 and 0 cents.
Have you ever been a bridesmaid, was the poll? Yes, but it was cheap. Yes, and it was expensive. Or no. 63% of our audience has never been a bridesmaid. 26% said yes, and it was expensive. And 12% said yes, but it was cheap. Interesting poll. And lastly, Morgan Goes Full Throttle was episode 1404. And it was our recap of The Walking Dead. And we had Jeremy from the Crown and College podcast, yep, on the CSPN podcast circuit. Max says, I don't think Gavin's crew is itching to kill. They have plenty of zombie killing whenever they want. They're just bullies, and they need to see the victims cower. We've seen that with the others, like the woman that hipped Eugene to the game. They do the same thing in their own compound in the market. That's why Bizarro dude loves to flex. The funny thing is, he's just a buster. Without being in the crew, he just stomped out. Even Ben could take that dude out, and I think that's why Gavin is so annoyed. Bizarro's constant flexing and provocation caused previously docile people to begin to start to raise up. Nah, I'm gonna say no on this, man. I'm gonna say no. They've been wanting to kill somebody in Zeke's crew because that's what they do from day one. Now, I don't, like, look at how pressed Negan was to kill somebody for his crew. They probably could have worked it out, but several times it was like, well, somebody got to die. Like, we got to kill. That's just a thing that's gonna happen. We kill a person no matter what. And I think that's their company policy, and Gavin and them just want to do the company policy, man. And they weren't doing their part. Like, they've been itching to kill somebody. That's why he wanted Richard to keep coming, you know. It just didn't, I don't think Gavin gave a fuck. You know, I don't think he was even really mad at that dude killing somebody. He was mad he didn't kill Richard. He right. told him to kill Richard. He told, like, that's the reason he was mad, was you killed the wrong person. It's not like Gavin said, well, go ahead and do it, and then was like, kill anybody. He meant kill Richard.
Right.
Bullies don't like to getting hit back. They pick on people that won't hit back. So for the weakest dude in the crew to kill the boy was too much. It's like when you constantly have to fight because you have a mouthy friend that can't hold his own. You might back him up, but that doesn't mean it doesn't get on your nerves. None of the other folks in the crew are on constant provocation mode. Also, I think Bizarro dude is exactly what you'd have to deal with without Negan. You cut off the head and all the structure goes away. All that's left is roving bands of marauders. Now that might make them less effective and easier to beat, but it would also bring a different type of terror. Yeah, Mac, I gotta disagree with you, dog. I gotta say, dude wasn't mad that he killed somebody. He was mad he killed the wrong somebody, and that's it. They've been wanting to kill somebody from jump, and Richard made it. He was the one. Willie F. Brooks says, the 911 dispatcher in the Tamir Rice case. 100! I don't need to hear anything further. Yes, I play fucking with black people at work right along with y'all. Love you guys. This show is my favorite. Thanks, Whitley. Eddie says, I think the kingdom was going to be okay as far as having food to give to the saviors, because the bugs only was in the King Zeke personal garden. As the lady who peed her pants said, they needed to burn his garden to get rid of them before they spread it to the main garden. But I like how that was slid in the show to make that a building block as a reason why the fighting should happen. Yeah, I think that she didn't say your personal garden. She just said the royal garden, right? So I don't know that that means, I don't know that the royal garden isn't what they're feeding everybody with. So I would need some sort of distinction on that. You know, I don't know. And also Zeke doesn't seem like the kind of person that comes off like he would have a personal stash of this big ass garden where only he ate out of it and fuck everybody else. I don't think that's happening. So, I bet you that shit does have something to do. Any loss of crops in a situation where you're trading crops every week is bad, right? I mean, either way, it's moving towards, we got to make a decision.
And it could take months. My thing is, it's going to take months to get it back.
Right.
And if you know anything about crops, they have seasons. Crops have seasons. Like, so you plant too late, you're going to have a problem. You plant too early, you're going to have a problem. You plant it off season, you're going to have a problem.
Right. So, let's see what else happened. He also says, in reference to the preview for next week, I knew Daryl going back to Hilltop was going to be an issue, but that was made even more apparent after Dr. Carson was killed at the Savior's camp. Not sure if you guys caught it or not, but right after throwing him in the fire, Negan says, glad we have another one, in reference to Dr. Carson's brother, the other Dr. Carson who was currently Dr. at Hilltop. Oh yeah. So maybe that's what Simon's up there talking about, some where is he? He might be talking about Dr. Carson, which right. Would still be a problem, because who's going to help Maggie have that baby? Correct. I said all that to just say, I think that that's the reason the Saviors are headed to the Hilltop. Not that that was tipped off that Daryl was there, but just them going there will be an issue, because as you stated in the episode, punk-ass Gregory is a rat and weak, so he will drop a dime on either Daryl or Maggie, who Negan thinks is dead. He will do something that will do nothing but cause issues for the group. As always, great review. Love hearing you guys' views on the episode. Thanks, Eddie.
Thank you.
Amani says, the slave auction story caught me because that's the district I went to high school. It was already going to be a shift moving from an all-black Afrocentric school in the hood to a blended suburb, but the school had a great reputation, but it's full of that good northern white liberal racism. Shocking, I know. They sell themselves on the diversity being right outside of New York, and it's dope having people from all backgrounds in town getting along, but they don't tell you when the school is over your black ass walking on the right side of the train tracks with the rest of the niggas while most of the white kids head on the other side of the hills. When I was there, at least there was actually more black students than white, except in all the advanced and honor courses, which were almost exclusively white. When we led a walkout protest, I still never heard more get out style polite ways of calling us niggers than that week, and getting yelled at in the Board of Education meetings. From what I understand, the slave posters were just one option among several assignments, but it doesn't surprise me a district that deludes itself into believing it really is post-racial would propose that and not to understand the context needed before just hanging them around school. And after that, fucking with black people, my ass was just like Morgan, seeing clear on the face of any treacherous white man that comes across trying to undermine Ezekiel. Classic R&B lover says, hey, hi Rod and Karen. I think I might have commented on this previously, but it's also possible that I meant to comment and never did. I must admit that I'm not really a Walking Dead fan. Not because of the show itself, but because of the zombie issue. I hate them. Really disgusting and too slow moving. But the Z-Pac probably changes this and shifts the odds. I started watching this season because of Jeffrey Dean Morgan. For the most part, I haven't really been able to get into the episodes without him, but that is to be accepted since I'm essentially joining the party 3/4 of the way in. As a result, your cast is really helpful to me because you explain things in a way that helps me connect with the backstory. I likely will tune out once Jeffrey Dean Morgan is gone, but will probably continue to listen to the podcast because, in all honesty, I'm more taken by it than I am by the show itself. thank you for listening. Thank you. Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And the poll was, would Morgan go full clear now that he's killed? Yes, he's going to be cuckoo. No, he's got it under control. 68% say he's going to be crazy. And that means 32% say, nah, he's got it under control. Karen, what you think?
I was going to go no, but yeah, I think he's going to go crazy.
Yeah, I don't know, something about him sharpening that stick. I'm like, man.
He off.
And then the way he kind of flinched, like, is somebody talking about me behind my back? I ain't like that. So, I don't know. I'm nervous for Morgan. I hope he don't go full crazy, but yeah, can I truly be surprised if he goes full bananas out here? Mm-mm. All right, let's listen to some voicemails. We got several this week.
Hi, guys. This is Sierra at Mom's Drag with Swag. First of all, once again, great week, great podcast. Queen Karen, yes. Your laugh makes my cereal feel magical. So if you want to pour your milk in the bowl first and then pour your cereal, you go ahead. You go ahead because you are the queen and you can do whatever the fuck you like. Yes. And Rod, it's just best to get used to it. Love you, Rod. You ain't shit. You ain't never going to be shit, but I love you. Second of all, I am timing myself because, you know, I do tend to send, like, long messages. But you guys have to understand, I'm a military wife. I am in Virginia by myself. I am born and raised in a whole nother state. So you guys are my safe space, and I know I don't want to put that pressure on you. Like, but you guys are, and you guys are friends in my head, and that's why I'm like, oh, my God, if you ever come to Virginia, I want to treat you to dinner. And then third of all, that sexy-ass chick who said something about me, because you know I'm listening to my feedback show. I got to go to work at 6 in the morning, and every night before I go to bed, I listen to my feedback show because I got to hit my feedback show. I don't know who that sexy-ass girl is, but, yeah, I'm here for it. And Walking Dead, Rod, oh, my God, Wednesday, Morgan is back. He is back. He has seen Get Out, and he is pissed. He is ready to get every black person from the sunken place. And Rich deserves to die. And I agree with Queen Karen. Rosalind deserves to die. Can't wait till she dies. Queen Karen, nothing wrong with you saying that. I am here for it. You're hoping that she dies, and we are in that together. I love you guys. Mm-hmm. Karen, that color in your hair looks amazing.
Thank you, baby.
Rod, you know you do. You the shit, but you ain't the shit. I know. But you the shit.
I'm trying. Leggy
to death. I'm sorry. I love you guys, and you guys always make me feel special. And Trump-ass fucked up America. Oh, and Kenan from Kenan and Kel got a movie coming out.
Yeah.
For the black man. I need to spend more money on y'all because I pay my subscription, but I need more money. I need to spend more money on y'all. Okay, I got to go. I'm at $2.59. Bye.
she did call back. Let me see. Here we go.
Hi, guys. It's Sierra at Mom's Drag with Swag. See, it's 2:54 in the morning. It's 3:00 in the morning, and I'm slurring my words because I had 2 cups of Chardonnay, but whatever. I want to say thank you guys for allowing me to leave 4 voicemails, 5 voicemails on your answering service. You guys are my safe space in this world that I'm living in. And you've been to Virginia. You've driven to Virginia. So you know how isolated as a black person you can feel. So, and I literally work at a job where I'm the only black person. I am the only black person. Shit is real. Like, I'm literally living Get Out, but they will not put any teacups in my face because guess what? A bitch removed all the glassware. But we're not going to go over that, Queen Karen. We're not going to go over that. But I wanted to say I'm sorry for leaving 4 voicemails, but you guys pretty much, when it comes to down here, are the only ones I have to talk to. And you guys don't understand. I just want you guys to, if you can take 60 seconds out of your week, every week, because you guys are fucking busy. Rob, you are the Oprah of podcasts. Yeah, I'm going to put it on a t-shirt. The Black Guy Who Tips is the Oprah of podcasts. That's what you are. Live in it. Enjoy it. Embrace it. Digest it. Get heartburn from it. And then whisk back up and go to the potty on it. But you are the Oprah of podcasts, and you are a safe space for people like me. And I just want to say thank you to you, and thank you to Queen Karen. That laugh, Queen Karen, Queen Karen. I said I was going to say her name four times. Queen Karen, Queen Karen, Queen Karen. That laugh is mine. What does Beyonce say? What is your aspiration in life? Queen Karen's laugh. That's my aspiration in life. But, goddamn. And I can't wait for y'all to talk about They Walking. This shit was banging. Carol Baskin, Morgan killing motherfuckers like he's supposed to be. Black Rage. Black Rage. All right, I gotta go. I'm sorry. I love you guys. I'm not going over my time limit. Bye.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, Virginia is a strange place, because whenever we have been on North, we've been on Virginia, you get to the line and say, welcome to Virginia. You got drones watching you.
I know. Such a...
drones?
Such an unwelcoming...
What are they going to do? Shoot you off the road for speeding?
Yeah, your speed will be monitored by drones. Police will be killing niggas. So weird.
Right? Mm. I was like, let's get out of this state as soon as we fucking can.
Karen. Miss Karen, girl.
Yes?
You were over here preaching on this Sunday's episode of The Black Guy Who Sits. Talking about allyship is a verb and not a noun. Once again, for the people in the back, allyship is a verb and not a noun. You have been speaking such truth, Karen, and I know that you don't believe in allyship. At this point in time, I don't believe in that I am a particular ally as a cisgender woman, but you are really speaking the truth, and you allow individuals the opportunity to speak their truth by stepping aside. And I just absolutely appreciate you all, like, so much for being individuals that are not just, just talking about the issues, but you all actually live these issues. You are actually upholding the voices of these marginalized groups while also understanding that you have privilege yourself. And I just have to say, like, this is my favorite podcast. Absolutely. Wow. I listen to a ton. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and this is by far the absolute best. So thank you all so much for bringing such joy into my life. Karen, you are absolutely beautiful. You have a radiant soul. Aww. And Rod, you are the best supporter. You are the prototype of what a phenomenal husband should be. So
aww.
Thank you guys so much, and I'm going to continue listening to this episode because you all are giving the tea on Chimamanda, even though she's my Nigerian sister. She was wrong. All right, thank you so much. This is Steve from Cleveland. Bye.
Bye bye, sweetie.
That was so nice. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we try, man. We definitely not perfect, but mm-hmm. We try to do a little something.
I'm living and learning, honey, because I've come a long way from what I know now to what I used to know, challenging myself, wanting to learn more, wanting not to be ignorant, not to say ignorant shit, and it's just a process, and just even knowing that you are going to say ignorant shit sometimes, but willing to put your pride to the side to say, okay, I hear you and I understand, and I will do better moving forward. I think that's a lot of times the problem. People come out and that they say ignorant shit, then when they're challenged on it, instead of them going, you know what, you're right, especially if people are willing to come have a nuanced conversation with you, like when we was talking to Raisani, that's what she was saying. A lot of that nuance is gone. People don't want to do that. It's either you got to go hard, and you go, okay, I understand that, but there is always, in most things, there's a middle ground. People don't want the middle ground. You either high or low or hot or cold. And I think that growing helps you articulate better to other people.
Yeah, I think part of this shit is just, you gotta, in a way, you just gotta know what you don't know. Like, I don't know everything, and I definitely don't know other people's lives and shit, but it doesn't seem that difficult to believe people on a lot of this stuff, you know? Like, and there's gonna be diversity of voices. Like, there's black, you know, like the person said, well, what about earlier? Like, well, what about trans people that are like, trans woman is separate from just being a woman, and I don't want to be in that group, and I'm not a woman, I'm a trans woman. Like I said, I haven't run across them, but you know, that's one way of approaching it. I'd be willing to listen to someone who said that. I mean, it's not my experience to tell them how to feel, but the same way that I'm sure in every group there's diversity, there's black people that vote Republican and black people that agree with a lot of shit that's anti-black, you know, but they don't speak for the typical experience of what it is to be black in this country, you know? So, you know, it doesn't cost me anything to believe somebody should be treated equal or at least have their voice heard. It always seems like people feel like it's an attack on something for someone to want to be included. You know, and I guess in a way, maybe that's what privilege is, oh, I have to give up space for this other thing. So it's an attack on me, because as far as I'm concerned, all this space belongs to me. So anything outside of that is attacking my space, you know, and I think that's how white people looked at Oscar So White. And that's how, you know, that's how people look at, the Democratic Party when black people say, no, our needs aren't being met, you know. And then within all that, you still just have a diversity of voices in blackness that, you know, argue back and forth too. Is never a clear cut 100% one thing or the other, but it just seems like it's harmless to listen or to at least say, this is what this person is saying. I don't need to fight them about it. It really wouldn't enhance my life in any way to say trans women are not women and trans men are not men. That does nothing to help my life in any way, you know what I mean? And vice versa, it doesn't. The only thing the opposite does is just kind of enhance the idea of like what humanity and what gender and thing and all these labels and boxes we put on ourselves, like what taking people out of those boxes and the freedom that can mean for people. But other than that, you know, it doesn't, like, it's not going to change the way I get paid. It's not going to change my car need to go to the shop. Like, it's not going to change anything in my life. It's just people fight change very hard. Mm-hmm. All right, next voicemail.
Hey, guys. This is Sierra, a.k.a. Mom's Dread with Swag. I just wanted to give you guys a call just to let you know, Ron, that my heart goes out to that woman in Charlotte who was victimized by that Asian person at the hair store. And I just want to let Queen Karen know, I completely agree with her. This is not the first time this has happened. And dig this, it doesn't just happen at the hair store. I was 17 years old getting my nails done. They had took so long to get my nails done that I didn't even get finished my set, my full set to get done. And I paid the man $20 and said, I need to go because I was late to work. I had to go. This man barricaded me after I gave him the $20. This man barricaded me in the store, put his hand in front of me, refusing me to leave, and started hitting me in my head. I was 17 years old, hitting me in my head. It took his wife and two of the other black women in the nail salon to yell, get the fuck off of her. Get the fuck off of her. She fucking paid you. Get the fuck off of her to allow me to leave. No, my full set at that time was only going to be about $18. I paid him $20. Then I gave him a tip. And because he didn't get to finish my nails because I was supposed to get designs and all that shit and I couldn't give him more money because it would have probably been out for $30, I gave him what I owed him, which was $20. And he literally started pulling my hair, beating on me, and trying to stop me from leaving like I was stealing from him. And I didn't report it. I pulled my hair back in my ponytail, and I took my ass to work. And I didn't report it. But from that day, I knew that these owners of these Chinese stores, these hair stores, and these fucking nail salons don't give a shit about us. They profit from us. They fucking lotion and paint our toes, but they don't give a shit about us at all. And it's fucked up. And for that, it's the reason why I'm natural. That's the reason why I don't get my nails done. And that's the reason why I don't support any fucking hair stores in my community. That's why, because they don't do shit for us and they don't give a fuck about us. It's a hair store I've gone in several times. And they still look at me like I'm about to steal. So fuck y'all. Mm. Y'all don't get no money from me. I'm sorry. I just... Karen, you're fucking right. And the problem is this shit has been going on all across the fucking country in the hoods. And us as black women, we don't say nothing. Stop supporting these fucking Asians. Stop supporting their asses. And that's not no racism shit. That's real shit. Stop supporting people that don't give a fuck about us. I'm sorry. Y'all have a great day.
No. First of all, you don't need to apologize. Like, I think... I was listening to Karen the other day when she had an issue at work, and I asked her what was wrong, and because we were eating lunch, and then she just like, I feel like 50% of the conversation was just Karen going, I'm sorry but this, I'm sorry with that. Women be apologizing for shit that y'all, it's just communication. Like, it's like, apologize for taking up space. Especially black women apologize for getting too angry, apologize for laughing too loud, apologize for being too happy, apologize for being too sad. And I know that the world like undercuts and undervalues and like constantly like pushes people down to be like, you're taking up too space, be small, too much space, be smaller. You know, I can't imagine the efficiency cost even at work, not just even the cost on people's humanity of constantly trying to smush yourself down so that people won't be intimidated or whatever. But if you're angry, you're a human being. Being angry is part of being angry. It's not like as a guy I have to be like, if a motherfucker hit me in my motherfucking head over some goddamn nails, if I'm mad, I ain't apologize for being mad. I deserve to be, every time I think of that shit, I'm gonna be mad. Like, and anyone that would expect less of you is not a human being. It's like, that person's fucked up, not you. So yeah, there's no need to apologize for that shit. There's no need to apologize for you know, we have guests on the show, women all the time, and they'll apologize for talking too long or pontificating and shit, and it's something that men never have to do. There's women podcast, like one reason I like listening to certain podcasts that are led by women, specifically black women, women of color and shit, a lot of times, because it's a place where women aren't apologizing.
Correct.
Where it's like, right, two women
be really open,
right? Yeah, two women are talking to each other and they don't need to, I'm sorry, you're sorry, I'm sorry, we're sorry. Just, they can have a conversation without having to worry about, you know, how is this gonna make the ego of the person hearing it. Now, I'm not saying women don't do this to each other. Obviously, it's societal and misogyny is in everybody, and it will definitely, even if in a room by yourself, probably in your brain, you think, I'm sorry if you go on too long. Like, it's not, this isn't even blaming women or anything for that. I think society's at fault for this, period. And a lot of people's egos need to be massaged to hear a woman. Essentially, to listen to and hear a woman is like, well, I'ma need you to make me feel better about you talking. Cause what I don't need is you giving an opinion without first qualifying this shit 57 different ways. But, yeah, you don't have to be sorry about that, at all. And, maybe it helps. It doesn't help at all, but you know, same thing with Karen. I feel like half our conversation is me being like, Karen, you don't have to apologize for that. Or, no, it's cool. Don't be sorry about this. Cause it's, you know, I'm sorry this, I'm sorry that, you know, if I asked Karen how her day was and how work was, cause I knew she looked frustrated getting out the car, and she was still apologizing while answering the question that I wanted to know the answer to, you know? So even just in efficiency sake, through communication, it's just, it takes up a lot of time. It takes up more time to apologize before just saying what happened. And it's not something I would ever do. You know, I would never feel the need. If you asked me some shit and some shit was wrong, I ain't about to tell you I'm sorry for the shit. Like, you asked. Like, it's a trust thing. And I think the implication is women have been taught that no matter what people say, to not trust the fact that they genuinely value and care about what they have to say.
Right.
And that they really do mean it when they say, yes, what is it? What do you, you know, like, please tell me. It's like, yeah, but what do you really mean?
Are you going to mansplain to me? Yeah, but are you going to dismiss what I say? Yeah, but are you going to talk over me? Yeah, but you're going to literally let me get my whole thought process out, you know, because it's one of those things, especially straight men, that they're taught as little boys to solve problems. They're not taught to listen very well at all. And something that grown men need to understand, grown straight men need to understand, me being married to one, is that a lot of times men don't listen. Sometimes a woman don't want you to literally solve the problem. Right. And that's something that's very, that's weird to men. You tell me something, let's solve it, let's fix it. Here's my answer. Let's go. She, no. I don't need you to solve it. I just want to talk to you. I just want to talk out loud, because everybody, but like this, I realize that everybody gets to solutions differently. Some people get to their solutions by sitting and internalizing it. Some people talk out loud, and talking out loud, and they can hear themselves and get their thought process out and go, okay, this is what I've decided to do. And a lot of times she don't even mind your input, but your input should not be mansplaining. And you feel, a lot of times you feel like you're not mansplaining, but when you come in and be like, well, this is what you should do, quote unquote, your dog will listen to her and she feel like you're mansplaining to her a lot of times. It's okay to challenge. It's okay to want to evolve and things like that, but it's a proper way to talk to somebody when particularly everywhere else they've had to fight. The one person you don't want to fight is your mate.
I just feel like people think, two things, right? One, I think women are just taught to not be too much.
Right.
Like the worst thing a woman can be is too much of anything. Whether it's the size, whether it's boisterous, whether it's happy, whether it's opinionated, whether it's talkative, whatever. And these are the same things we reward most men for. You know, being opinionated, you're a boss. Being opinionated, a woman, you're a bitch. You know, being, outgoing and boisterous or, whatnot as a man, you know, is different. Being a big dude is, I'm a big guy. I like me a big guy. Being a big woman, oh, you fat. Oh, she's too big. Even if it's like Serena Williams, too, she's just too much of her. It's everything for women. Just don't be too much. And that seems to be just drilled down into the core of every woman's being, or many women's being. And even undoing that, I'm sure, is just like a fucking piece of work. And, you know, most of my friends are women, but I still have, you know, a good amount of friends that are guys. The conversations are just different. And I say this as someone who tries to be mindful of not like, I'm gonna speak over this woman, or shut up, it's my turn to talk, let me solve your problem for you. Like, I try to be mindful of not being that kind of guy, but I think the expectation is still there because that's just how society is. And the second thing I was gonna say is, I don't even think it's necessarily men actively seeking to do this to women, right? I think honestly, everybody does it to women because something coming from a woman is of lesser value to most people, even other women. How many women seek relationship advice from men, even when those men ain't shit?
Come on,
you know what I mean? Like, how many women will ask a dude, it's a friend, and they, even that dude, you know, that dude ain't worth a damn, but it's like, I couldn't possibly have the solution for what, like, my feelings can't be valid. I obviously need some man to look at this quote unquote objectively. Or Tyrese, somebody that doesn't have his whole life together, he can write a fucking relationship book. Steve Harvey can write a relationship book and women will buy it because it's, and I feel like women buy it not because of, I just need to support this man. I really think women buy it because society is always being like, you don't know what the fuck you talking about. What you need to do is find a man that's willing to tell you the answer and then do what the fuck he says. And you drill that down on enough people, you know, whether it's through church, politics, your office, you look at the people in the upper echelon, it's mostly men. I just think that shit is just drilled down into women constantly. All that being said, I'd like to have a show where we don't have to have women call in and apologize for being women, essentially. We don't have guys giving their opinions very often with the I'm sorry qualifiers. Maybe a couple of I'm sorry for going on too long, and then they write and go on too long, right? I mean, it's the truth.
Not a bad way, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be mean, but mm-mm. That's the truth. Like, mm-hmm. There's a lot of dudes that are on some, I don't want to go on too long, and then I keep reading us four more paragraphs. Why? Because dudes don't give a fuck. Like, it's more important that I get my shit out than vice versa. And,
yeah, and the thing is, I'm sorry to cut you off the thing.
No, see, you just did it right there. We do a podcast where you talk and I talk. There's only two of us here. You should be talking.
Yeah, there's only two of us here.
You know, it's a conversation. If you have something to say, you want to say it, you just top in. Same thing with, you know, I love Ray Sani. We invite Ray Sani on because we love her. She'll give a long opinion.
We love Ray Sani.
And half the opinion is like, I'm sorry. And I know this, and I'm sorry. I don't mean to do this. I'm sorry.
You ain't gotta be sorry.
I'm like, baby. This is what we want. Like, we find you to be brilliant and fascinating and funny and entertaining. Please talk. I talk every day on the show. Take some time. Do what you want to do. So, yeah, it's amazing. It's graining because, you start talking, and I'm going to stop talking because that's the natural flow of a conversation. But for a woman, it mostly is, I'm sorry, you know? But go ahead, please.
I was going to say, not all women, but
right.
As women get older, and I realize I haven't fully gotten there yet, but the closer I get to 40, my fucks leave me. And when I say that, I mean actually just caring about how I'm heard and people's view about my life and my lifestyle and how I live and maybe who I'm married to, what, how much money I make or where I stay or if I'm too loud or if I'm pretty enough, how my clothes are, how my hair is, how much weight I weigh, how my skin looks. The closer I get to 40, the fucks are starting to drop off. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, a lot of men, even older men, don't really know how to deal with the woman when her fucks drop to zero. Because once it drops to zero, she's like that old black man. She's like, look, nigga, this is what you get. Take it or leave it.
Yeah.
And a lot of dudes don't know how to handle that because you're used to women being intimidated by you or massaging your ego or right. Stroking your opinion and making you feel the great and wonderful just so you can pay ass attention. And once you get to a woman when her fucks get to zero and you can hit her with this misogynistic shit and she going, well, nigga, I don't care no more. A lot of dudes get angry because that's a woman you can't control. When a woman fucks gets to zero and she gets to the point where she's really not, don't care, because I can't speak for everybody else, but when I was younger and some of these things I'm still struggling with, some I've completely gotten over where you hear what your family members have said about you and different things from your past, be it how you treated your hair. I talk about those things because I've had to deal with barriers about a lot of these things all my life, from my weight yo-yoing to my hair to my skin not being pretty enough, not being smart enough, you know, not making the perfect grades, getting to the point where no matter what I do for some people, it's just never enough, some loved ones, to now I don't give a fuck. And when you don't give a fuck, they look at you like they say crazy shit to you and you just keep it trucking, and they act like something wrong with you for not giving them the attention that you used to give them to stroke their ego, and then you apologizing for some fuck shit they said. But now I'm to the point where I just don't care. I have more important things going on in my life than you. I cannot center my life around you, and what I will not do is tolerate your bullshit. And I don't mind cutting you out of my life. I don't mind getting rid of you. I don't mind pushing the negativity out of my life, because I'm to the point where life is too short to surround yourself with fuck ass niggers that don't give a shit about you and stress me the fuck out. So a lot of times I surround myself with positive people, and I just realized that helped me grow as a woman. And once I got to the point where I put people around me that love me, support me, don't ask me to change, don't ask me to be something that I'm not, you know, help build me, help encourage me to get me in the right direction. Don't try to deter my hopes or my dreams or my aspirations. And we can bounce off of each other. Life has gotten better for me as I've gotten older. And I think for a lot of women, and like I said, even me apologizing, I'm sorry. Like I said, it's that some of that stuff is just ingrained in you where every time you speak, you're interrupting. Every time I say something, you're taking up space. You feel like you're taking away from that person and you have to apologize for now the attention being on you. And I think every woman goes through these different channels in her life. And I think there are a lot of women, in my opinion, that are still trapped in various forms of chains of people's opinions of them. And it prevents them from being the woman that they can be.
Yeah, you play your video game Stardew Valley all the time. Mm-hmm. Now, but I remember when you first started, it was, I'm sorry, I'm about to play my video. You okay with me playing this video game? And I'm like, why did you not pay for half the TV? I don't know, when I'm playing my video game, it's like, I'm gonna play my game. Like, unless I'm interrupting something you're doing, why would I feel bad to play a video game? Like, we bought a video game system, you know? We have two other TVs in this house, multiple tablets and phones and shit. There's many other places to go watch the thing, but it's just drilled down on women to be like apologetic for existing and shit. And it's not, you know, it's not fair, but you know, it's something that's been on my mind ever since yesterday when we talked, cause I was like, we've been together for 22 years. And you still think there's a point, and I think this is probably most women, there's like, you can't really trust it because it's like everyone's waiting to pull this rug from under your feet, like, caught you slipping. Bitch, I don't care. You know what I mean? We'll see people in the chat sometimes when you're talking or you're going on a rant or something, and I'll see people leave little comments like, look at Rod's face. What is it? Nigga, I'm listening. That's what you're watching, is a person be like, this person is talking, and even if I have something to say, I'm gonna wait till they finish talking, or I'm gonna wait till a pause in this conversation for me to jump in and co-sign or reiterate or whatever. Like, this is me listening to a person that is speaking the way I would listen to any person, you know. But it takes training, because I do think the default is to interrupt women when they're talking the vast majority of the time, and if a woman interrupts you, to be like, nope, I ain't done, you know. And I try to respect that, because sometimes, you know, when people are people, it's totally possible that a woman can be a complete dick and be like, I'm gonna talk over everybody, I'm gonna filibuster everyone, and I'm gonna keep making this all about me.
Of course,
it's totally possible that can happen, you know what I mean? So it's not me, I'm not trying to be like, a woman can never be wrong. Anyone can just be like, I'm gonna come in this conversation and monopolize the fuck out of it, and it's about me right now. You know, I mean, we had Danny on the show a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was last week, when she was talking about that give Trump a chance shit. Well, Dexter had also told me, we have to wrap it up at 2:30. And she was going on a filibuster at 2:29. You know what I mean? And whenever someone else started speaking, she would kind of cut them off and start going about her shit again. And I remember having to be like, Danny, please, I let you speak. You gotta let me speak. It is our show, and you gotta wrap it up. Like, I would have loved to talk to her for another half hour, but at some point, other people have to be able to make. So, like, there's a flow to conversation.
Yes, it is.
And that's totally, you know what I'm saying? But personally, I love it when people are free to be themselves and not have to, like, not be too much. So, it is, you know, I do have to train myself to be like, okay, Ray's talking and she's making great points, and I don't know why I keep using Ray as an example, but let's say any woman's talking and she's making great examples, and I want to chime in and I want to do all this, but you know what, man, they're talking, they're communicating, and I'm training myself to a certain extent to be like, let them get all that shit out before saying anything. So yeah, I think a lot of cases, you know, just like that phone call, there's an apology, but you don't have to apologize. Mm-hmm. You know, it's emotional, then it's emotional. If you angry, then you angry. Yeah, like, there's nothing wrong with that shit. So, all right, back to these voicemails. We got two left. Sorry. That's a big tangent, but I've been thinking about that for a while.
Hey, Rod and Karen. This is Jada. I just wanted to give a couple of comments about the Henrietta Lacks story. Yeah, I'm actually a scientist, and I first learned about her in like my ethics class in grad school, and yeah, I was very amazed and surprised to see that actually her family, I believe, is kind of like in dire straits financially. And so we kind of talked about the ethics of like, is it ethical to like compensate people for them giving them samples or something like that, if it's going to aid in research, right, that can help all mankind, but at the same time it's like it aids in research but it makes like money, right? But back in the time when they took her samples, there was no like regulations of people having to get permission from patients to take their samples. Hearing about her story like definitely frustrates me, as you guys alluded to, about that's just another drop in the bucket of many things that they've done to black and brown people in the name of science, you know, quote unquote. And in particular, me being a black scientist, like that, you know, I love science, but it's kind of like a, you know, a love-hate relationship sometimes. And particularly now, what frustrates me is that there are protocols in place where, I mean, here, just at school, if people, for like if you're doing a study or something, right, for your project, and you set up like a protocol and it gets approved, then you can actually have that included in your grant money to be able to pay volunteers for like their blood samples or something or whatever. Like sometimes you can get like $30 a pop or something every time you donate. So to me, it's like there is no, it's not like there are procedures in place to compensate people who participate in trials. Not all volunteers are compensated, but, you know, there is a standard now. And so it just frustrates me that, that nothing has been done and her family has not gotten any type of compensation for the literally billions of dollars that have been made off of her samples and herself. Like, it's totally unfair. Don't tell me that they don't have it in the budget. I know how much, like, you know, research profits every year. So, but yeah, guys, that's just kind of my two cents and just, you know, my frustration is being a scientist in the industry and things that have happened like that, as well as things like that I've learned about black women getting forced sterilizations, or Puerto Rican women had birth control pills tested on them, like, unknowingly that caused side effects and all this type of stuff. Ooh, wow. All right, guys. Love the show, and can't wait to hear your feedback. Goodbye.
Oh, thanks, Jada.
Thank you for the education. They do some fuck shit. Like she said, in the quote-unquote name of science, give us diseases and shit just to see how it's going to affect the human being.
And she left one more voicemail.
Hey guys, sorry, this is Jada again. Just one more point, I forgot to mention that coming from a scientific standpoint and like how these things work, I think in an ideal world, like the NIH or whatever would just like literally write them the check or whatever, but the family, but pretty sure that's not going to happen. To me, since people do have to get permission now to use her genome, when like PIs, professors, when they write grants or whatever, they have to give out a budget of like how that money is going to be spent or whatever, right? And they have like a budgeted amount for supplies and materials. So to me, that's what the NIH needs to do. The money that like they give grants for and they set aside for like materials and stuff, that money should then be included for like if you want to use HeLa cells or whatever like that and be sent to the family, like as a way to start compensation. Like they definitely owe them way like billions of dollars in back pay, but to me that would be some type of, I don't know, reasonable start or whatever, if you want to call it that. But all right, guys, love the show. Bye.
All right, thank you. We got some education. Black women scientists just calling in being like, listen, let me tell you about these HeLa cells and these white folks, okay? So you need people on the inside looking out for you. Like the black women scientists, like the black women at the potluck, just looking out for everybody.
Yeah, they is.
Y'all don't even know it.
They be like, you know that shit gonna kill you. What?
Mm-hmm. All right, we got some emails from everybody, so let's get into these, and this will be the last thing before we get out of here. Hopefully go see my nephew today.
Yay!
And give him his presents. Mm-hmm. Thanks, y'all. This is from Dion, who says, I know I've said this a few times, but I just want to thank you, Ryder Care. With all the bullshit going on in today's world, it's always a plus to have you three, Justin too, yeah, premium nigga, in my ear, keeping me laughing and thinking. Please keep doing what y'all doing, and I will forever be a fan slash listener. Thanks, thank Dion. DB Trill on Twitter. Let's see who else we got. I think we did that one already. Miss Crystal writes in. Ooh, this is a long one. Okay, Miss Crystal, let's see what you're talking about.
To say.
Right? Hey, Rodrin. It's called All Good. Hey, Rodrin. I just want to say I empathize with the little homie from Shadow Dog. Okay, Danica. Mm-hmm. I transitioned from optimist to realistic optimist in my late teens. A good part of my job is to find good in people, which I admit is in direct correlation with my personality. I work in the addiction field and at face value, my community members are considered the undesirables to most people across the board, from the senior citizen, blue, black, HIV plus, along with HCV, ABC, BBD, and Ebola, having cat daddy, career heroin addicts, to the 20-something douche-faced dude bros at capital B Becky tryhards. There is something for everyone to hate. Yay! But finding good in people isn't just a decision, but a gift or personality trait. It's a trait that needs to be honed, expanded, and contracted, which comes with experience. I think I've mastered the art of being unbothered and dedicated my life to empathy in elementary school. I'm able to do what I do and feel what I feel because I cultivated my life to do it. I explained this to my child and clients that I'm actively choosing to be nice, and I worked hard to maintain this niceness, so don't try me. I've done this by taking things with a grain of salt, because 9 times out of 10 people's saltiness has nothing to do with me, and the source of the salt will come out sooner or later. Mm-hmm. Also, this may sound redundant, but it's not. Don't take everything to heart. If I take everyone's negativity or neediness to heart, I probably wouldn't be alive. It takes a balance of boundaries and commitment to accountability on all fronts, compartmentalization, letting go, and the art of leaving things at work to survive. But the survival of society is dependent on us empaths. There are clients that I genuinely dislike as humans, but for the sake of being professional and therapeutic, I have to find and expand on the good in them and not cause harm to them. I have the power to cause people to be homeless and or have their kids taken away from them, so I practice empathy to help me help them. But when it comes to the Tampico tyrant, honestly, he's entertainment, but that entertainment needs to stay on NBC and Trump Towers. He shouldn't have even been permitted to enter the White House. Nevertheless, use it as his commuter home. On another note, just because people are impasse and find something decent in people doesn't negate the need to be honest and exercise common sense. I think when people critique nice people, they don't take into account the fact that they have redeemable qualities, and saying folks can't do no wrong are separate things. Just because the fascist might have taken a cute baby pic that one time doesn't mean that folks think he'd make a good city council member. Nevertheless, POTUS, or in this case, POTUS, probably wrongly equated nice with soft, and if it weren't for us, well, let's not think about that. It wouldn't be too nice. Bottom line, maybe there are just 20% of us who can't handle this empathy / nicey nice life, and little homie was reaching in that convo, but she will learn and grow and be all right. Well, yeah, I mean, look, she is young. I also don't really resent her point of view. I think a lot of people want to shut her down and shit, but I don't know, man. To me, as a person that I am an empath, I think there also has to be some self-protection for me, at least, involved, because I can't be sympathizing for any and everybody. It's just not realistic. And in a lot of cases, people are very, very fucking harmful. And it's better to keep them away from you before you start basically essentially making excuses or justifying their bullshit because of however they were affected that made them the way they are. And that's something that's very dangerous for, you know, that's something, at least for me personally, it's something that's very dangerous for my emotional well-being. Is sometimes you can be like, oh, well, this person, they mean well, or they, you know, if this thing had happened, they wouldn't be this way. But sometimes it's not about having empathy for a person that is in a position of power over other people and is exerting that power in a very fucked up way. Like, it's not my responsibility to give that person a chance or to find the redeeming quality in that person. And I think it's in my opinion, it's the self-protection that Danny probably has and some other people have, where they can't really turn it off, where their thing is, I will protect myself from negative thoughts by finding the positive in everybody, so I never have to feel like a bad person for thinking something bad about a person. But some people are not good, and the things they're doing are bad, and it's not, you're not wrong for being like, this is bad, you know? You're not a bad person for that.
Yep, I know I used to be like that, but go ahead.
No, that was it. And to Uncle Sam Jackson, direct your negative energy away from the foreign-born actors and rapper/actors towards Betty DeVry to get some, arts education funding. Because what he might be seeing as a result of generations long lacking of arts education funding in the U.S. Don't be mad at the U.K. for investing in dramatic arts education. And he needs to big up the rapper artists for doing what black people do, making a way out of no way. They obviously use hip hop as an unconventional means of artistic expression and entrance into the world of dramatic arts. Applaud them niggas. Well, yeah, it's not like he was too good to be in a movie with them. See what I did just there? Use my nicety empath power and turn that negative to a positive. And now I will gently place the mic back into the stand, because if I drop it, it might break, and also don't want to burden the cleaning staff. Hugs and kisses, Miss Crisible.
Oh, thank you, baby.
Yeah, thank you. Let's see who else we got. Nathan writes in, Citizen Radio and Safe Spaces. Hey, I've actually been listening to Citizen Radio for many, many years. In fact, it was the first podcast I've ever listened to. I was in the Facebook group for the podcast Radio Dispatch, a sort of a sister podcast to Citizen Radio. It's the Neffels, right? I don't want to say that. Heard them on Keith and Girl. Mm-hmm. And it was there that I first saw the news about Jamie Kilstein, John and Molly Neffel. Yeah, that, okay, we do know them. Talked about it on Radio Dispatch a couple of days later after talking to some of his victims, and they had an interesting discussion which brought to mind a question. So I'm a cishead white dude, and I have a blog hosted at Free Thought Blogs. When I first started blogging, I attempted to curate my blog as a safe space for people who aren't cishead white dudes, where misogyny, including victim blaming, racism, homophobia, transphobia, etc., simply wasn't allowed, and continued to do that when I got invited to the Free Thought Blogs. But now I'm not so sure I can make my blog a truly safe space, because I'm starting to wonder if it's even possible for a space curated by a cishead white dude to be safe in any way. I personally don't think so. I don't expect anyone who isn't a cishead white dude to trust me, or any cishead white dude. Why should they? It's worse because Jamie Spit didn't just talk the talk. He walked the walk too. He attended protests, including Occupy, Black Lives Matter protests, feminist protests, and so on. Gave money and time, even publicly used his privilege to amplify the voices of those who aren't cishead white males. So even his actions couldn't be trusted. It was all a public shield for his pathetic ass, and he's not the first. My very own network, Free Thought Blog, had our own similar story with another cishead white dude named Richard Carrier. Ooh, T is spilling. Just naming names.
Did he knock it off the table? What's happening?
Right. A man who ran in feminist circles, talked the talk, and walked the walk, and turned out to be skeevy and manipulative towards the very women he claimed to support. These men are the most, are the worst, frankly, and have only made spaces once thought safe by many women to actually be unsafe. They have done so much damage. I still don't allow any form of bigotry in my blog, but I no longer feel it can ever be a truly safe space because it's curated by a cishead white dude. Sorry for the length of this. As usual, y'all are awesome. I agree with everything you said, except I literally do not believe there's any such thing as a safe space. So, and that's not on some like Republican, you shouldn't even try. I just really think human beings are flawed as fuck. And even the things that we would consider minor for people of privilege are major to people of marginalized people. So even my curiosity about the lives of trans people, and my feeling is kind of intrusive why should your existence be have to facilitate my curiosity? Why should my need to know something inhibit upon your ability to simply be and exist? You know, and it's human. I'm not saying it's like, I don't think it's possible to have an existence where there's this group of diverse different people and they don't discuss their differences. No one ever learns anything from anybody. Everyone just already knows everything and everybody understands. Like, I just don't think it's possible in the ways that I feel like we define safety. And it's definitely not possible, and especially in the internet age, where you can't have a wolf in sheep's clothing. People are not stagnant things. You know, for the most part, people are changing, shape-shifting motherfuckers. So, like, even a person that means well, maybe they meant well September 1st. Some shit happened September 15th. They like, I'm trying to do some fucked up shit. You know what I mean? Like, and people can justify anything. So I just feel like the only thing you can truly do is take responsibility for the space that you manage. That's it. You can't promise anybody anything as far as safety. You can't, as long as there are other people in the space, I can't be responsible for anybody else's actions. I can only react to the actions in what I consider to be a responsible manner. That's it. You know, that's the messiness of humanity. So, yeah. And what do you do about somebody that actively takes on the coat of other, you know, like this mask, you know what I mean? Like, people are fucking psychopaths, man. And maybe it's 'cause I just don't trust people, but I would feel dishonest to promise people something I can't deliver.
Correct.
You know, so like I said, people will refer to our Facebook group as a safe space. People refer to our podcast as a safe space. I don't feel that it's safe. But at the same time, I'm not really striving to make it safe, quote unquote. I'll try to be mindful. I try to be empathetic to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel like this shit is safe, because I think comedy is very unsafe by nature, and we do a lot of jokes. We talk about guess the race. We talk about fucking with black people. I'm sure there are people that are like, I don't listen to black autists. I get triggered every time they talk about, you know, black death and it's fucking with black people. You never know when one of the topics might be sexual assault, and there's no trigger warning. There's no, you know, like, I recognize that we may be a bit quote unquote safer than just some spaces that are just like, we don't give a fuck, and
right,
you cuck social justice warrior, blah blah. Like, we might be safer than that, but we ain't really. I don't feel like what we do is safe, but I also don't feel like we strive to be safe. While others may try to do that, but I feel like safety is an illusion, for the most part, because human beings and life is too random to ever feel safe. I know I don't feel safe ever. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel safe in my house right now, with the alarm on. Like, I feel like police could knock on the door, shoot a nigga dead, and I'll be like, well, I should have known not to be in my house minding my business. This was just the wrong day to do that. So,
wrong place at the wrong time. I shouldn't have been here.
Yeah, you know, but yeah, that doesn't mean you give up or you don't strive to manage your shit.
Right.
But I just think it's more about responsibility and awareness and taking, like, having some accountability, because everything else is just people lying to you about promising you something they can't deliver. But what you can be like is, yo, I'm going to take that under advisement, and if I can't do it, then I can't do it. You know, so anyway. All right. A great article I thought I'd share is from Tiffany B, who says, hey, Rod and Karen, wanted to share this article. My husband is a proud alumnus of A&T, and he is also an engineer. He and I have very different college experiences. I went to a Big Ten university for undergrad, private university for my master's degree and PhD, all predominantly white, and had to seek out other black students as support. By the time I started my PhD studies, there were very few black students and none in my field of study at the time, and no student support at all. This article made me think of your emotional plea for people to support HBCUs, and this further supports the importance of these universities, not only to black students, but for our country as a whole. We proudly give to this his alma mater, and now we are also give to y'all. Keep up the good work. 5 stars. Appreciate your wit, candor, humor, inclusiveness, and willingness to tackle any subject or issue. Y'all are a national treasure. Thank you, Tiffany.
Thank you, baby.
And the article, I can't read it because obviously it'll take a while, but the article is, how did a North Carolina I think it's about HBCUs and engineering. Hold on, I'm waiting on this shit to load. It's taking forever.
That's the thing about A&T. A&T is they're big on that, and I think I don't know if it's changed, but I know Fayetteville State was considered North Carolina's top teaching college, particularly for Black people. And all jokes aside, there's a lot of these white universities that know this shit, so a lot of them have their eye on us. That's why a lot of them want to quote unquote get us into their UNC system, and like Fayetteville State want to change the name, want to acquire us to make them look better.
Yeah, and the article is on the Undefeated. Is how did North Carolina A&T become the country's leading producer of Black engineer care? So yeah, it's long, so I can't read it all, but yeah, man. That's one reason we got to support HBCUs, man. People just think it's anyway, I don't want to rehash the whole thing because I'm going to just get mad. Elizabeth writes in, hello, Rod and Karen. Hello, listeners and co-host. I love you and The Walking Dead, and this is us / hot. I just wanted to thank you all for enhancing my life in the most marvelous of ways. Shout out to the Little Brothers for introducing me to the Blackout Tips. LB in the house.
Thank you, Leonard.
I love your laughs, the way you both laugh, and the things you laugh at. And I'm so grateful for your perspectives and the way you guests and listeners share so open-heartedly. I live in the UK. Shout out to the British dude that called in. So glad he is putting his mental health first. But I was born in Kenya. Shout out to Barack Obama Sr. And it is thrilling to connect with Black people across the pond. It cracks me up when you read white people news from British sources and you both have no idea what y'all talking about. I can't tell the euro from the pound. Mm-mm. I don't know what's going on.
All I know is got that little E symbol.
I'm just a dumbass American, y'all.
For real.
I'm just dumbass American. I love the way Rod refuses to pronounce Kylie Minogue's name. I don't know how you pronounce it. I'm cracking up all over again thinking about it. LOL. Woo. Both of y'all are brilliant everywhere. I love your dynamic, and I'm too old, but I consider myself adopted into the TBGWT family. You all adopted into mine. Thank you for the puns and period positivity. Thank you for hashtag day walking, and thanks for this too much. Shout out to Bossy. I am biased, but Beth is of the IS is the best character ever. Oh, yo, of This Is Us, yes, she is the best character ever, and yes, we all are that perfect with demanding mothers. How did the writers know? Did you notice
mama's on the board, like that's what happened when you get women not trying to find it in the right room and behind the cameras and shit like that. They keep it real, they're like, look, this is some real shit.
Did you notice on The Walking Dead after Morgan killed Richard to try to explain himself to the leader of the saviors, when Morgan stepped forward, the leader with the blonde bob flinched and backed up? He was
shook.
And she put clapping emojis. He was terrified of Morgan.
Yes, he was.
We'll be interested to see if and how they feed Richard's death back to Negan. Okay, I'll stop. Love, 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 Beth. At How About Beth on Twitter. P.S. Please check your iTunes reviews. Oh, okay. We need to check from the UK, I guess.
Yeah, because yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll see if I can check it before we get off the air in the background. If not, we'll read it next week.
I'll write it up. Won't let you forget.
All right. Horatio writes in. Love your podcast. Have a question to pose. Hi, Karen and Rod. First off, I just wanted to thank you for doing such an awesome show with the podcast. I found you two at a time, December 2016, when I needed something authentically Black as a respite from everything that has been going on in social politically this past year. On that topic, I have a question. Do you and my fellow listeners think that the other side doesn't give a damn about Russia? I don't mean our current administration. I mean the Republicans and probably some Hillary voters too. I'm beginning to believe, or rather acknowledge to myself, that I already believe that Trump fans wouldn't object to a society that is identical to Russia. I'm gonna say this. I don't know about the society being identical. What I will say is, if y'all think them ties to Russia is about to stop people from supporting Trump, you got another motherfucking surprise in store. They don't care about that shit.
Yep.
The only thing that will stop Donald Trump, like, people was like, it's his tax return. I was like, unless his tax return show he filled out Black at the race, fuck are we talking about? Nobody cares.
Good.
The kind of people that support Trump, for the most part, only care that he maintains his racial points of view.
Right, and it's white power.
Right, and he maintains his bigotry. Everything else, they don't care. They don't care if they lose their health care. They don't care if they can't go to Planned Parenthood. They don't care if they lose their jobs. They don't care. The only thing they care about is keeping immigrants out, keeping Muslims out, keeping black and brown people some kind of form of oppressed, stripping the government of all like programs that they think might benefit some black people somewhere, possibly, even if they on the program them fucking selves. So like, yeah, dog, I'm gonna say no to any of this shit with his taxes, any of this shit with Russia. None of this shit will be what brings Trump down at any level. Anyway, after that dawned on me, I realized that, duh, of course they wouldn't object. It'd be a straight white male Christian world. That's what Make America Great Again means to his supporters. For Trump supporters who disagree with my assertion, I doubt they'd outwardly object. I doubt any of them will hear this. I don't know that Trump supporters are a big demo for the Blackout Tips podcast. who disagree with my assertion, I doubt they outwardly object to decreased diversity in their neighborhood, workplace, etc., let alone policies that directly harm black and brown people, as well as our LGBTQ brothers and sisters. Why? Because whiteness over everything is their default. Preach to the choir, basically.
All right.
In writing this, I ask what I think is a hard question. Beyond a catastrophe from Trump, which leads to impeachment, and I don't even know if Pence would really take a different stance with Russia than if he should take over.
I think he's worse, but go ahead.
Right. Are we not too late to stem this tide? I mean, for real, you got dudes in power who have all but stated they want to be Russia. I don't feel powerless, but I also recognize the perilous situation of my minority status and in color and in number in a country still run by white males. And if we are truly on this path, and that will continue for some time, where is the tipping point to where we know for certainty that this will be what we deal with for the next 30, 40, 50 years? Peace, Horatio Blackman. Yeah, man, I personally feel like this is that point, and there will not be nothing's gonna happen to change this. Like, for at least 2 to 4 years, this is the administration everybody's stuck with. The only thing that might happen is people start feeling the impacts of some of his changes, right, and then those people feel some sort of fight, like, I'm gonna fight back, you know what I mean? That's the only thing I could think of that would change anything, is people being like, oh, my healthcare is fucked up and I'm a white person and I voted for Trump. Or people that said, hey, both the same, I'm choosing not to vote. Things will be fucked up for them, and then they'll say, okay, well, now that things are fucked up for me, I feel like maybe it's time to get this dude out of office.
Right, now considering all the other people who didn't have a chance and were immediately impacted by it.
Yeah, but honestly, the way things are set up, right, with the way that the gerrymandering is gone, I don't know that there's gonna be this quick solution to any of this shit.
Mm-mm.
You know, feel like people, for the most part, that it's just hopeful wishing that wishful thinking that somehow he'll be called to task and everybody's gonna realize, like, oh, okay, actually he's a pretty bad guy. You know, I don't think it's gonna happen. LaShonda writes in, hi Rod, hi Karen, I didn't want anything. It's just been a minute since I wrote in to tell you how wonderful you are and how great the podcast is. I'm premium and I'm loving those shows as well. Are you coming to AwesomeCon this year? I'd love to get more photos and Karen hugs. Absolutely, LaShonda. Mm-hmm. We plan to be there.
June
or July.
It's June. I think the second weekend in June, I think. Let me check while we're talking so I give people the right date.
Okay. Well, yeah. We absolutely, that is the plan. So, if y'all are gonna be there, then, we plan on being there. In the words of Michael McDonald, I'm gonna be there. I also have a question. Whatever happened to with McCrory trying to strip the incoming Democratic governor of his power? I know in December the court stayed the effort, but haven't heard anything about challenges to the stay, or know that it was only a temporary stay. Have you guys heard anything in this regard? Keep the greatness coming. From my understanding, that shit was definitively like, no. So I don't know. I haven't heard anything since, and I think we are probably in a circle where me and Karen would have heard if something was different, but I'll try to look into it.
At least we heard we would have. Awesome Con, y'all. For those of you that came last year or you wanted to come last year and you wouldn't come, Awesome Con is June the
16th through the 18th.
Yes, 16th through the 18th. I don't know. We don't know anything about the panel or anything like that. Once we get that information from Chris, we'll let you guys know. So for those of you that were thinking about it or planning on it, look for us to be there.
J4 writes in, ooh, this is a long one. All right, here we go. HBCU budget. What up, Queen Karen and Spouse Rod? I tried to leave a voicemail, but the prompt never came up. Just kept ringing. Hopefully I can make my point without an overly long email. Well, you know what, man? I don't know what happened. People got the prompt. Other people left voicemails. I don't know. If something happened on voicemail, we'll figure it out.
I don't know. I don't know if it got full. It's electronics.
No, I don't think it does.
Okay. Oh, so that's the oldness in me going, the voicemail got full, baby? I'm sorry.
The tape had to pop up, flip right. over.
That's how I'm thinking. Well, maybe it can only hold so many messages.
It's a double-sided tape. So 45 released his budget and HBCUs didn't get the increase in funding they requested in Pell Grants for summer classes, which slashed $4 billion. The Pell Grant issue is the most disturbing to me. I'll share a quick story. A friend of mine was a former president of a large HBCU in a Republican state who ultimately got run off her job by the Board of Trustees. Their beef was a difference in belief of the school's secondary mission. She felt that the school should continue to do what it's always done, provide Black people and other underserved groups a college education. As a result, the school sometimes admitted many students that probably would have had trouble getting in elsewhere. Another friend who works in the student affairs department was telling me how a lot of these types of students need extra classes to even be brought up to college level because of the poor educations they received prior to college. Two things happen because of this. The students take longer to graduate. We're talking maybe an extra semester compared to the state average, and the students need to take summer classes. The state legislature was also at odds with the school and was constantly trying to find reasons to cut their budget. The Republican state congressman tried to use that as proof that the school is failing and reasons to cut the funding. The sad thing is that the university trustees sided with the money instead of doing what is right. One area that I think this cut is Pell funding is going to affect is HBCU STEM students. I don't know how kids do it today, but back when I was in undergrad, it was best to take the hardest STEM classes in the summer where you're only taking one to two classes.
Right. It is a shorter period of time. And so I realized that too when we was at Federal State. I didn't go to summer class because of a lot of scholarships. Like you said, wouldn't pay for summer school. But a lot of people who got loans and shit like that did their really complex classes because they know it's a short period of time. It's condensed. You know, a lot of teachers, they're not as hard because they know they only have a limited amount of time to cover a limited amount of shit in the summertime.
Also, you don't have as many classes that you're taking, so you can concentrate on those one or two classes.
Right.
You have access to professors and TAs and have smaller class sizes. Lastly, there's always talk about lack of diversity in tech. If the Zuckerbergs and Googles of the world are really serious about increasing diversity, now's a great time to come together and increase their donations to HBCUs. Sadly, I don't think they are. Facebook has less than 150 Black employees out of 8,500. That's not even 2%. Shaking my head, but that's a story for another day. What's $4 billion to a company like Apple? Even if they only did it for the good PR, it'd be tremendously helpful. Love the show. I like how he added links to all his points, like, we believe you. He'd be like, listen, here's the Facebook link just in case. No alternative facts in this joint. Love the show. Can't believe y'all are almost at 1500 episodes. Some of these corporate back shows don't even make it 150. Your hard work and dedication is much appreciated. And one more thing, Brent Voice, did y'all peep the article about NCAAT producing the most Black engineers? Well, it's a coincidence you said that literally two emails before this. Yep. We peeped it. I'm biased because I work in the STEM field, but y'all already know the 45 cuts to arts and humanities budgets will definitely hurt HBCUs more. Fuck him and his whole crew. His policies are reminiscent of communist China, where they targeted intellectuals so they could get a large uneducated labor force. Sadly, the way his base doesn't give a fuck about facts and the pursuit of truth and knowledge is being called, it's called being a liberal elitist. It looks like it's working, J. Full. Thanks, J. Fool. Mm-hmm. And yeah, everything you said, man, the Pell Grants and stuff. And here's the thing, man. I just feel like everything I said on that podcast about the HBCUs just come to fruition, because look at what he did, just completely gut. Look at the programs where he just went like, fuck everything about Meals on Wheels and all this shit. Like,
yeah, what is it, NPR? I mean, and the thing about a lot of this shit he cutting, I think it says like 0.0000, like it's such a small percentage of the overall budget.
Right.
But the shit that you actually need to cut, you're not cutting.
Right. So, I mean, look, I just can't imagine what would happen if they didn't go. That's all I'm saying. Who knows? I think this administration is willing to do a lot of unprecedented shit, and people keep laughing it off and keep thinking it's predictable, and they keep thinking that it's so, like, it's not a big deal. I don't know that there will be HBCUs in 8 years. Hope so. But I do know for a fact, if he would have gutted everything right now, that with him gutting so many other programs, I don't know that people would prioritize the amount of money needed to keep funding HBCUs for the next 4 to 8 years.
Right.
Last email, Jared writes in. So this was originally supposed to be a voicemail with the two of us calling in, but it's been a crazy week. I know y'all hear this a lot, but you really mean a lot to us. This is called Early on the First Morning of a New Life. I won't speak for Charnel. I hope I pronounced it right. Charnel, because it's CH, so it could be Charnel or Charnel. But I know for me, you helped me approach life in a more mindful, accepting manner. All of this whole helping me grow to live and accept my black ass self more and more. What y'all say about wokeness being a journey is true. I've had problematic positions, been stubborn, and used my privilege to silence others, but I try to do better every day. Literally check myself and listen to and amplify those who live their truest lives. But all of this is a distraction from the very selfish reason I wrote this email. I'm getting married today, y'all.
Congratulations.
Probably sometime after y'all do the feedback show, we'll be starting the ceremony, and I want to hopefully to get this in time so that on our flight home, my beautiful, wonderful new wife, Charnel Monique Smoke Page,
the full name,
could hear this and get all happy and teary again. She's the one that introduced me to your show, and it has been a source of growth, discussion, and joy between the two of us for the last 2 years. I look forward to many happy nights and morning listening, learning, and laughing with you all. And like I said, I hope I'm not pronouncing it wrong, so I'm going to say it both ways. Charnel/Charnel. Stay golden, y'all. And Charnel/Charnel. Monique Smoke Page, thanks for introducing me to this show. We hope to see you at AwesomeCon this year, since she missed out last time. Oh, my God. That's who it is. Remember, he told us that she couldn't make it. He was like, "Oh, she loved the show," and he was by himself. That's who it is.
Well, we hope to meet her, baby.
Well, thank you very much, Jared Michael Smoke Page, man. And hopefully, we see you at AwesomeCon too, man.
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Looking
man.
Forward to it.
Yep. So, congratulations to both of you guys. What a great way to end the show.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're out of here, guys. We'll be back tomorrow, and like I said, we'll be doing This Too Much tomorrow, me and Bossy. Well, it was a long one, 3 hours, boy. Y'all could talk. All right, guys, we'll talk to y'all tomorrow. Until then, love you
too. Mwah.